very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Today is the first day of school for the city of St. Louis, babies. We have wonderful things that are happening. There are children that are actually getting on buses after 3 years of having to get there when they can, how they can, after having 3 years of declining enrollment in our high schools because the babies don't have ways to school. After spending stupid money, unreimbursed money on bus passes from Metro as a campaign favor for Francis Slay, you know what? Finally, our children are being treated like they matter, like they are human beings, like they are part of the world that we live in instead of these little money pots for Francis Slay and his ilk to snatch. Pluck a little money here, pluck a little money there. It's the first day of school, and we live in a city where the guy that sits in the mayor's office is hoping that it fails. What a messed up place the city of St. Louis is. The guy sitting in the mayor's office is hoping that it fails. Wow. Wow. So congratulations to the teachers out there. The team that has been put together by the interim superintendent. People that are working very hard to make this work instead of people hoping against hope that it fails. That our children fail. But, you know, one of the good things that has happened as a result of this is that people have been exposed. People, not exposed. People are comfortable now to be on Front Street saying, I hope this fails, instead of being behind the scenes saying, I'm going to make it fail because I want it to fail. So there's some good news to come out of this. Francis is clear for those that want to see, I want it to fail. He's always wanted it to fail. Now he's just on Front Street with it, and he's much more comfortable there. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Miss Brown, the truth will set you free.
All right.
Miss Brown, you made the news again over the weekend. Charles Jacob did a report, and all through the controversy, they showed a piece of you, Miss Brown. Even when you said rise and protest?
Uh-huh.
I thought about you, Miss Brown. I said, oh, Miss Brown is still in the news.
Wait a minute. How were they using my
rise and protest?
Yeah.
During the controversy of Francis Slay and all that, they showed a piece of you. When you said rise and protest, how the controversies had, they also interviewed Archibald and Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to show how all the controversies we've had, they showed a little piece of you when you said rise and protest.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was so nice because you worked so hard. And I believe in our children, Miss Brown. But Archibald had the audacity to say, Miss Brown, that there will be a financial crisis of November 07. There won't be any money, and they're going to have to close some more schools.
Well, you know, fortunately, hopefully he won't be here in November 07. And the financial crisis will be averted once we get rid of him.
Thank you, Miss Brown. He even wants the legislators to change where we can't fix the school board. Ain't he crazy, Miss Brown? And that sorry, tacky mayor we got, Miss Brown. But, Miss Brown, we did it. We turned that mess around.
That's a fact.
And showed them how we're not going to do our children that way. Peter was good, too, Miss Brown. Charles Jacob asked Peter about the article he wrote about Francis Slay, like Alabama George Wallace standing in the school ways,
mm-hmm.
school doors,
mm-hmm.
comparing Francis Slay to Governor George Wallace. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, he's withholding the tax money. He said, well, I didn't know about that. He said, well, he's from about you. Well, let me go check in on that, Mr. Dow.
What do you mean? He didn't know and he was asking him about it? He hadn't read the article?
No. So I guess he didn't read the article right, Miss Brown. And Miss Brown, I just want to let
So they get paid for doing work that for criticizing, not even reading the article? That's a great gig if you can get it.
And
you know, that sounds like something that George would do.
Miss Brown, you asked Peter when you said what Charles Jacob asked about the article. And Miss Brown, like I said, I want to take cheers to take my hat off. Shouts for Dr. Borshaw and everybody for turning that thing around and showing them how a school board should be run. And good riddance, Craig Williams, who didn't know what he was doing. Have a nice day, Miss Brown.
Take care of yourself. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. Families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in a supportive, loving, comfortable setting of their own home. Through Point of Change Hospice Care, they use pain management, emotional counseling, support, and compassionate health care. You see, Point of Change Hospice treats the patient as a whole person facing an end-of-life issues. Point of Change Hospital has skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, home health aid and homemakers, bereavement follow-up, trained hospice volunteers. Point of Change Hospice, 535-4500. That's 535-4500. One of their counselors is waiting to hear from you. 535-4500.
Why should a 10-year-old murder story like JonBenet Ramsey get so much attention from the media? What about the one-year anniversary of the devastation from Katrina? Is that suffering not important? Who decides the news cycle and what is their criteria? We'll take a look at some critical media matters this morning at 8 with Peter Hart from the watchdog group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, exclusively here on The Wake Up Call.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920 WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Coming up on Mondays at 9, it's Patrick Byrne, the CEO of Overstock.com. He's been trying to sound the alarm for several months now about a practice in the stock market called naked short selling that threatens to become a huge Wall Street scandal. How can you sell stock that you don't own and make big money on it? Another interesting scam you need to be aware of, and we'll be focusing on it this morning on Mondays at 9. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back. Whatever happens, don't let go of my hand. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Anniversary of Katrina is coming up. We're going to do a special on Friday with lots of Katrina anniversary issues. But I want you to consider this. This was on one of the television news stories as well. State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is here. Like a good neighbor. State Farm supervisors systematically demanded that Hurricane Katrina damage reports be buried or replaced so that the company would not have to pay the policy orders, policyholders' claims in Mississippi. In Mississippi. Now, this is just in Mississippi. If this was happening in Mississippi, what do you suppose was happening in, I don't know, New Orleans? What do you think was happening there? Check this out. At one point, State Farm brought in a special shredding truck that the two whistleblowers, Carrie and Corey Rigsby, say believe that that was used to destroy records. They say that they saw supervisors go to great lengths to pressure outside engineers to prepare reports saying that the damage was caused by water rather than by wind. One of the sisters says she saw a senior coordinator ordering that an engineering company be told to alter its findings in its report so State Farm would not have to pay. Tell them if they don't change their report, we're not paying their invoice. And there was one engineer that was interviewed that said that he looked at a report where he said that the damage was caused by wind. And the report that was filed under his name said the report said the damage was caused by rain, by water. And the signature that was on the report was not his signature. Insurance companies have been given way too much control and way too much power and way too much authority. State Farm, like a good neighbor, State Farm rips you off? Is that what their new motto is? Like a good neighbor, State Farm doesn't care? These are two people that worked in the company, that saw this with their own eyes, that got out the reports, that made it clear. State Farm wasn't paying their people. And think about it. Insurance is one of the best gigs out there. They get all this money for air. All this money every year for air. What does it cost? They send you out a report once or twice a year or once a month if you get a bill. And you send them a $200, $300, $400, $500 check a month. And you never use it. I mean, that's a great gig. That's a great gig. I want you to ask yourself as we are deciphering this Katrina story 1 year later. Have you noticed how everything is now all about Ray Nagins? You notice that? Now, I don't agree with a lot of things that I've heard him do. I don't agree with his politics. I think I don't agree with some of his politics, a lot of his politics. But I am not going to stand still while and allow blame to be laid on this man. He said, and he made this wonderful point. He said, wait a minute. It's my fault that New Orleans is not fixed 1 year later. It's taken 5 years and y'all haven't fixed that hole in New York. Okay? You haven't fixed that hole in New York. It's my fault that New Orleans is not fixed 1 year later when we had infrastructure destroyed, schools destroyed, hospitals destroyed, court systems destroyed, electrical grids destroyed, people displaced, and the gouging of our good government. It's my fault that New Orleans isn't up and running in a year and the hole in New York has yet to be filled in. And all y'all had to do was to remove debris, and the government took care of that because they sure didn't want us to know what happened to those buildings. So the debris was whisked off the next day by the government. All y'all had to do was fill up a hole. And it's my fault New Orleans is not up and running in a year. He didn't say this, but Liz Brown did. Kiss my grits. Kiss my grits. We'll be back. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Centrum. Westbound 5570 on the PSP, there's a disabled vehicle reported. 70 at Highway 47 in Warrenton, there's a report of an accident. Westbound 270 at Washington, Elizabeth, and 370, look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 at 44, no problems as of yet. Eastbound 70 at 79, that traffic is starting to build. Eastbound 40 between 141 and 270, look for heavy volume. Westbound Kingbridge traffic on to Laclede's Landing looks good still this hour. Northbound Route 3 on the PSP, that approach is looking good, and everything else seems to be running smoothly. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Centrum. When it comes to multivitamins, it's not just the number of ingredients, but how they interact that counts. Centrum balances combinations of nutrients to bring out their full potential. Centrum is balanced and complete. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Showers and thunderstorms likely today, high around 80. This evening, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers, a low in the mid-60s. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day, a 20% chance of showers with a high around 80. And Wednesday, partly cloudy, look forward to a high in the lower 80s. Currently, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 74. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Coming up on Mondays at 9, it's Patrick Byrne, the CEO of Overstock.com. He's been trying to sound the alarm for several months now about a practice in the stock market called naked short selling that threatens to become a huge Wall Street scandal. How can you sell stock that you don't own and make big money on it? Another interesting scam you need to be aware of, and we'll be focusing on it this morning on Mondays at 9. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm Veronica O'Brien, your president for the St. Louis Board of Education. I would like to remind you that the first day of school for the St. Louis Public Schools is Monday, August 28th. This year will be one of our most exciting, with new leadership and renewed enthusiasm. Students, parents, and community, we welcome you back. Remember, education is the key to your success, and it starts on the first day of school for St. Louis Public School District, Monday, August 28th.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Just like a well-built house needs a good design and plan, so do our lives. This is Sandy.
And this is Bobby.
Two life coaches. Please join us as we take your questions about designing your life. We'll discuss life planning, following through, and the obstacles that get in the way.
This is your weekly chance to get some answers you've been looking for. We hope you'll join us on The Design Life on WGNU every Monday afternoon from 4 to 5.
Why should a 10-year-old murder story like JonBenet Ramsey get so much attention from the media? What about the one-year anniversary of the devastation from Katrina? Is that suffering not important? Who decides the news cycle and what is their criteria? We'll take a look at some critical media matters this morning at 8 with Peter Hart from the watchdog group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, exclusively here on The Wake Up Call.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get to me. Carl.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
You know what? I'm glad that you just spoke on State Farm. They used to be my insurance company. Let me tell you what happened real quickly. My deductible with State Farm used to be $500. Do you know that they went up to $1,400 deductible?
Mm.
And when they went up, the explanation that they gave us, they said that in order that it be the they was trying to explain the reason why they went up. They were saying that if we took out other insurances, like the vehicle and other types of insurance with them, that would be the only way that it can stay at $500. You see? But anyway, as we speak, I have a refund check that I'm going to take to the bank this morning because we canceled State Farm. As I said, they went from $500 to $1,400. And this past storm that we just had, we were trying to claim some of the food that we lost, and it's just me and my wife. We did not have $1,400 worth of food. So I would suggest to anybody that have State Farm, I would drop them like we did.
Mm.
And, you know, thanks for that information, Ms. Brown.
Certainly, certainly. Okay. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. These are... as I always say, these are amazing times that we live in. These are amazing times that we live in. I'm looking at a story here about how not only are people that suffered from Katrina in Mississippi, not only are they having... State Farm is ripping them off, according to two State Farm employees. But also, we have concerns about, I mean, think about this. We have engineers that are saying that the levees may not be there. May not be what they're supposed to be. I saw Ray Nagin's on 60 Minutes last night, and they walked him up to the levees. And it's just, it's fascinating to me. So now it's going to be Ray Nagin's fault if the levees break. You think these levees are going to hold? And he's putting himself out there saying, yeah, I think they're going to hold. I'm not... You should say, I'm not an engineer. I'm not here to cheerlead. All I can say is that they came and they rebuilt them. We'll see if they hold. I can't say that these things are going to hold, but Ray Nagin, oh, yeah, they're going to hold. There's a story to the contrary that came out of the Associated Press on Saturday. Despite aggressive efforts to repair the New Orleans levee system and following the destruction of Hurricane Katrina, it isn't clear whether it could withstand a hurricane with a heavy storm surge this year. That's what the head of the Army Corps of Engineers conceded on Saturday. They said that the agency was carefully tracking Tropical Storm Ernesto. He was confident that the Corps had done all it could to repair and reinforce the 220 miles of levee walls, but he said many variables would determine whether or not the levees would withstand a major hurricane striking near New Orleans. To pinpoint one thing and to say yes or no is very difficult. They sure had Nagins out there saying, oh, no, these are going to hold. These are going to hold. He said much would depend upon where the hurricane made landfall, what the wind speed is, what the rainfall is, and other factors. The biggest concern would be water levels so high that they could cascade over the levee walls, weakening them to the point of breaching. Huh. So we have the people that are building the wall saying, we don't know. And you have Ray Nagins out there saying, yes, it will hold. Huh. Huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. All of you all listening to me, all of you all over the world that are listening to me, those of you in city halls and offices all across the region, call your state representative and ask them if they have been to New Orleans or the Gulf Coast region. Ask them what matters most to them. The last I checked, Barack Obama has this great story on the front page of the Chicago Trib. Barack Obama goes home to Kenya. As one of the few, the handful, 100 people, there are only 100 senators for the entire United States. 100. Ask yourself, has Barack Obama been home to New Orleans? Ask if he's been there. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, number one fabulous Liz Brown.
Good morning, Mr. Davis.
Yes, Liz. 60 minutes. I am ready. I've been trying to take and call them about the fella that they had interviewing the mayor, Ray Nagin. I thought he was disgraceful, Liz.
Why? Why did you think that?
Yeah, the way he nagged him and that and everything and asking such questions that Nagin wouldn't have been able to really answer because, you know, he might be the mayor, but he's not the governor, and he's not the one who from FINA, neither, you know, see? And then he's going to nag him so and rev him so much about repairs and things and whatnot. I'm glad the mayor told him they need to fix that hole in Chicago.
You mean in New York?
Oh, in New York.
Right.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, I just thought it was really quite something. So I've been trying to take and give them a call and tell them that I used been listening and watching 60 Minutes for quite a number of years. Every Sunday, that is my position in front of the television at 6 o'clock, but I'm going to tell them that I thought that was disgraceful, the way that fella, and I wish they would get rid of him.
Here's what I would like to see.
Yes.
I would like to see if that is the way that he, because he to me, a lot of his questions seemed Brian Gumbelish, that he was being a very forceful interviewer. Okay, I can understand that. I would like to see how he does other people.
Yeah,
before I say let him go. I need to see how he addresses other people, and I would like to see if 60 Minutes has him on any other thing.
Yeah.
No, not on any other shows, but on 60 Minutes again to do something other than to interview a black man.
Yeah.
So that's what I think the question is for 60 Minutes. Why did you bring this guy? Well, they say he's been covering it all of this for a year.
Yeah.
Well, then. Okay, that's cool, but if he's good enough to come on for this story, why isn't he good enough to come on for other stories?
Right, very definitely. So those are good points, and if I can get in touch with them, I'm sure we'll take and bring that up to them, Liz.
All right, thanks for your
very
call.
Good.
Take
Thank
care.
You. Bye.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I'll be back after this break. Stay with me. Turn to hospice care when they are facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. Founded in 2001, the Point of Change Hospice provides the physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and their children in the last phases of terminal illness. Point of Change Hospice provides skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, medical equipment, medical supplies, bereavement follow-up, support for the terminally ill and their families, and trained hospice volunteers. They accept Medicare, Medicaid, and private health insurance. Point of Change Hospice. One of our counselors is waiting for you at 535-4500. 535-4500. The Point of Change Hospice Care. Caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you. Point of Change Hospice, 535-4500.
Coming up on Mondays at 9, it's Patrick Byrne, the CEO of Overstock.com. He's been trying to sound the alarm for several months now about a practice in the stock market called naked short selling that threatens to become a huge Wall Street scandal. How can you sell stock that you don't own and make big money on it? Another interesting scam you need to be aware of, and we'll be focusing on it this morning on Mondays at 9. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
It's a tale of monstrous proportions. It's a monster hit.
Oh, I'm feeling good today, Mikey.
It's Fall Down Funny.
Okay, Sully, here we go.
Join Mike and Sully as Disney on Ice presents Disney Pixar's Monsters, Inc. See the monsterific mayhem of Monstropolis live in your hometown as all your favorite monsters generate megawatt laughter that will leave you screaming for more. You love the movie.
Make way, coming through.
You'll flip for Disney on Ice presents Disney Pixar's Monsters, Inc.
I'm a natural.
You won't believe your eye. Disney on Ice presents Disney Pixar's Monsters, Inc. Your family will scream with laughter. Scare up your tickets today.
Playing September 13th through the 17th at Savas Center. Get your tickets today at Ticketmaster or call 314-241-1888 or log on to DisneyOnIce.com.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Ramallah. More trouble for the Palestinian Authority. Public employees say they have not gotten any paychecks since June. At the end of last week, thousands of people began protest actions in the Gaza Strip, and a general strike is being called for this week. One senior Palestinian official says there is a lack of order and leadership throughout the Gaza Strip, and it appears there could be an imminent collapse of the security and banking systems. Members of the Hamas party want to set up a national unity government, but the party is reluctant to share any power. Insurgent activity is increasing, and the entire Gaza region is prime now for an explosion of the building tensions and frustrations of the people there. And Dateline Detroit. The head of the Detroit School District says if teachers proceed with plans for a strike, they can expect fines and other actions to be taken against them. William Coleman says state law prohibits strikes by public employees and is calling for a $5,000 fine every day for the union and each day's pay for workers for every day they elect to stay out. Coleman also says thousands of other workers will have to be furloughed if a job action is undertaken by teachers over a cut in wages and other benefits. A meeting was to be held yesterday to determine whether or not the teachers would report for work today. Back in March, about 1,500 of Detroit's 10,000 teachers called off sick, forcing the closure of some 50 buildings in the district. They were protesting the taking of 5 days of their pay to help overcome a budget shortfall. Teachers want a multi-year contract plus raises in pay for the most senior teachers. The district is demanding nearly $90 million in concessions from the union, which translates into about a 20% pay cut. Union officials say hiring of administrators has continued, and any concessions need to start at the top. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Judy Moskoff. Join me for A Gardener's Notebook every Monday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. As a master gardener, I'll answer your questions about what grows and what doesn't, how to control annoying garden pests, and help you create colorful flower gardens and the freshest fruits and vegetables you've ever tasted. Join me, Judy Moskoff, for A Gardener's Notebook, Mondays at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the gardening issues that matter most to you.
Why should a 10-year-old murder story like JonBenet Ramsey get so much attention from the media? What about the one-year anniversary of the devastation from Katrina? Is that suffering not important? Who decides the news cycle and what is their criteria? We'll take a look at some critical media matters this morning at 8 with Peter Hart from the watchdog group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, exclusively here on The Wake Up Call. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Shadows are falling all over town. Another night in these blues got me down. Oh, misery, I sure could use some company.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Well, good morning, Liz. How are you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
Well, the 60 Minutes interview is just showing how one person can get so denigrated, while other is praised in this madness of King George with Ray Nagin. I still find it incredible how you can just, you know, how you can just get dogged while George is just.
I'm not sure that George is getting praised, but I would, if I were Ray Nagin, I would have certainly not allowed myself to be pulled into that position. When they asked him, "Do you think the levees will hold?" I would say you'd have to talk to the engineers. I cannot vouch for them. I did not build them, and I don't know. They look like they're going to be all right, but you need to talk to the Corps of Engineers about that. Why would you allow yourself to be put out on Front Street like that? You know, I mean, some of this stuff, he's asking for it. Don't you think?
Oh, yes, true. Anger will do some things, but anger could do that, too.
Well, no, I'm talking about the interview last night. He wasn't angry last night. They asked him, "Do you think these levees will hold?" And he said, and he knocked on one of them and said, "Well, what's going to knock this down? You think that they're not going to play that tape if the levees don't hold?"
Yeah, he'll get the blame again.
But he took it. He should have said, "I can't testify to that. All I can say is that they have been built, and I sure hope they hold." Instead, he said, "Yeah, what's going to knock these down?" I just think that that's a foolish statement to make. And you're causing yourself, you're setting yourself up. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
I got another statement I need to make.
Sure.
You know, Amy Goodman's going to be down at the Left Bank Books on the 23rd of September.
Okay.
I was wondering, are you going to have her on your show?
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. Jean, good morning.
Oh, hi, Liz. I want to talk about Katrina.
Sure.
I remember something about 3 days after Katrina. I could be mistaken about the days. But Donald Trump was down there. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Yes, he did. He went down to observe as to what was going on, you know.
Okay.
So I was wondering if they got plans in the air for maybe another Vegas.
Ah, I see. I don't know. Could be.
Yeah, I remember that because at the time I thought, what is he doing down there? You know, he took a special trip down there.
Mm.
So I don't know.
And he wasn't bringing bottled water, was he?
Yeah.
He wasn't taking bottled water down
you
there.
You got that right.
All right.
Thank you.
Good question. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. We have to look at who, I think, a measurement of, who you are as an elected official, as a national elected official, is whether or not you've been down to visit and to participate in and to try and help in the biggest national natural disaster to hit this nation in anybody's lifetime. We have a huge city that was basically wiped off the face of the earth in many respects. Have elected officials been down there? Because they're the ones that are voting on the money for it. Why wouldn't you have been down there? I think a measurement of that is where have you been? Where have you been? My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. We have much to talk about. And we're going to talk about... What we are seeing. What we are seeing on the media. We're going to talk about that as we work our way through this busy day on the wake-up call. And for everybody that's listening, for the Urban Institute, we will be showing Spike Lee's movie on the anniversary of Katrina. Spike Lee's movie, When the Levees Broke. For those of you that don't have HBO, for those of you that didn't get a chance to see it, we will be showing Spike Lee's movie. It's a 4-hour movie on When the Levees Broke. We will be showing it from 7 a.m. until 11 a.m. this Saturday morning at 1020 North Taylor. So come early, and we'll be taking an intermission at 9 o'clock, so you can come and see the second hour from 9 to 11, but come on down to 1020 North Taylor for the anniversary of the Katrina catastrophe. We will be showing Spike Lee's When the Levee Broke at as part of the Urban Institute this Saturday from 7 a.m. until 11 a.m. It's a 4-hour movie. Come on down, check it out, be part of the discussion. It's going to be a very, very, very powerful thing. So come on down to the Urban Institute at 1020 North Taylor on Saturday morning from 7 a.m. until 11 a.m. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
All over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you pick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we
say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. The black box and the debris should help explain what went wrong on Comair Flight 5191. It crashed and burned as it tried to take off in Lexington, Kentucky.
There were discussions between air traffic control and the flight crew about pre-planning and taking off from runway 22. We also know from the flight data recorder that the airplane was lined up on a heading to take off from runway 26.
Debbie Herzman with the NTSB. Investigators looking into why it took off on a runway considered way too short for commercial planes. 49 people died. The co-pilot, the only survivor, is in critical condition. Ernesto, the first hurricane of the Atlantic season, now a tropical storm, but that could change again.
We'll be moving over warmer waters between Cuba and South Florida, and we expect Ernesto to possibly strengthen into a hurricane and then make landfall along the southeast coast of Florida sometime on Wednesday.
Stacey Stewart with the National Hurricane Center. The shuttle Atlantis is being rolled back to the hangar ahead of the storm. Suicide attacks in both Iraq and Afghanistan have killed dozens of people. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan's in Beirut on the way to talks on the Israel-Hezbollah conflict.
I think it's important that I come here myself to discuss with the Lebanese authorities the aftermath of the war and the measures we need to take to implement the UN resolutions.
24 won Best Drama. The Office won Best Comedy when the Emmys were handed out last night. Julia Louis-Dreyfus shrugged off the Seinfeld curse and won for her new show, The New Adventures of Old Christine.
I didn't get emotional about the curse. I'm just emotional about this success, which I'm floored by. I really am. This is a joke. I can't believe it.
Tony Shalhoub, equally stunned.
This isn't even frosting on the cake. This is like the rarefied air above the frosting on the cake.
He won a Best Actor award for Monk. This is ABC News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical. But if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other, approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence. So you can get to sleep, and maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Lubox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if your insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
A Rolling Stone might be busted. ABC's Tom Rivers in London says investigators are looking into something Keith Richards might have done.
The scene of the purported crime, the stage of Scotland's National Stadium, an open-air venue that holds more than 50,000. The legendary guitarist reportedly relaxed after the Stones' Friday night gig there by lighting up a cigarette. Glasgow city officials, however, aren't amused. In fact, some are fuming because such an act would be in violation of the town's new public smoking ban. No word from the Stones PR headquarters, but Richards probably won't be losing much sleep over the potential fine of around $100. Tom Rivers, ABC News, London.
And a dubious distinction for Milwaukee. Forbes.com ranks it as America's drunkest city based on things like state laws and the number of binge drinkers. Minneapolis, St. Paul came in second, followed by Columbus, Ohio, Boston, Austin, Texas, Chicago, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Providence, Rhode Island, tied for ninth. Liz White, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
This report of WGNU News is brought to you by Shell. I'm Peyton Colston. Taking a look at the news, the cross-county extension for Metrolink is officially open for business. Stations from Forest Park to Shrewsbury began collecting fares this morning after passengers rode the extension free over the weekend. Metro officials say ridership on the extension will exceed 18,000 passengers a day in the next few years. For information about schedules and route, log on to www.metrostlouis.org. Meanwhile, a new highway work zone law takes effect today, bringing stiffer penalties for hitting a worker in a construction zone. MoDOT spokesperson Chris Sutton says he hopes the tougher penalties will send the message that drivers must be responsible when they drive through work zones. Drivers face fines up to $10,000 and can lose their license for a year for hitting a worker. The new penalties come in the wake of two recent deaths of highway workers in the St. Louis area. Signs warning motorists of the changes are being unveiled along Missouri roadways today. And also beginning today, more children in Missouri will have to be in-car booster seats. A law takes effect today requiring children between 4 and 7 years old, under 4'9" and between 40 and 80 pounds to use a booster seat in the car. Children under 4 years old or under 40 pounds must be in a child passenger restraint system. And finally this hour, a St. Louis man will go to death row for the murder of a security guard in a botched bank robbery. Robert Bolden was sentenced to death Friday for fatally shooting Nathan Lay during a robbery attempt at a North St. Louis Bank of America in 2002. Bolden's accomplices, Dominic Price and Cortez Edwards, are serving 24-year prison terms. And that's WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by Shell. Shell is giving away free gas for life to 6 lucky winners and tons of other prizes. The million-gallon giveaway only at Shell. Made to move. See official rules at participating Shell stations. I'm Peyton Colston reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Westbound 40 onto the ramp to northbound 170, the disabled vehicle, a motorist with a flat tire, use caution. Westbound 270 at New Halls Ferry and McDonald, look for a heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 at Sappington and Big Bend, slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 from K through Mid Rivers, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 at 141 and 270, look for very heavy volume going on there. Westbound 5570 from Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for heavy volume going on there, as well as northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic rolling into Laclede's Landing is a bit slow, and Riverview Drive just south of Chain of Rocks Bridge, that roadway is closed. Page at Dealman, there's also a report of an accident. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play pick three from the Illinois Lottery. Watch for the green ball double draw. One green ball, two chances to win. Illinois Lottery, have a ball. Play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Showers and thunderstorms likely today. High around 80 this evening, mostly cloudy. A chance of showers with a low in the mid-60s. Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the morning. Partly sunny throughout the day with a high around 80. And Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 74. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, or your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business, much, much, much to talk about. As we talk about the year anniversary of Katrina, the ever imploding war against everybody, according to this administration anyway, war against everybody, the cost of that war against everybody. We need to talk a little bit about what's going on here at home. Yes, we do. Economists last week were talking about how we're fixing to have a recession like nobody's business. Housing sales are down. All of the indicators for housing are down. Our economy is based upon 30% of it, based upon what happens in the housing market. And everything is plummeting. On the sunny side of the street, though, at least on the sunny side of George Bush's street, on the sunny side of this administration's street, they're saying that we are doing better, the economy is strong, and that our budget deficit is not what they said that it was. Oh, really? We need to talk about that. And to facilitate our conversation, we have joining us from Virginia, Jim Harney. He's an analyst for the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Jim, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Are we on the sunny side of the economic street? Are we doing okay out here?
You know, I don't think so. I think it's interesting, 2 weeks ago, the Congressional Budget Office announced that the deficit for this year will be $260 billion. And the administration and some other people celebrated that and said, oh, this is good news, because just 6 months ago we thought it was going to be higher than that. But that's a little bit like having a weather forecast that says the temperature is going to be 105 today, and when it turns out to be 100, saying, oh, that's cool. Well, 100 degrees is not cool, and a $260 billion deficit is not good news.
And talk, can we do a little bit of a historical analysis of this to help put it in perspective for people? How historic is this deficit?
The deficit is large in dollar terms. It is not nearly as large as some deficits we've had before compared to the size of the economy. But the problem is that this is a high deficit, not in a recession. As you indicated, there are some concerns about what's happening in the housing market and where we may go. And it's certainly the case that many people around this country are not sharing the benefits of a growing economy. But in fact, the economy right now has been growing at a pretty good pace. And to have a deficit of this size when the economy is doing relatively well is troubling. It's particularly troubling because we all know that in coming decades, we are facing a real problem because of the retirement of the baby boom population and the continuing increase in the per-person cost of health care. And everybody who looks at the deficit, the budget situation over the next 20, 30, 50 years knows that we are going to have a real problem. So the fact that we are having today a deficit as large as we have when we're facing this big problem in the future, that's what the real problem is.
And we're going to continue this conversation with Jim Harney, analyst for the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, joining us from Virginia. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us. What is hospice care? Families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice Care provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. Through pain management, emotional counseling and support, and compassionate health care, the Point of Change Hospice treats the patient as a whole person facing end-of-life issues. Point of Change provides physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of terminal illness. Their program features home services, emphasizing comfort for the dying and making it possible to remain independent for as long as possible. Skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, chaplain and counseling services, bereavement follow-up, home health aid and homemakers, and support for the terminally ill and their families. Please give them a call. One of their counselors is waiting to talk to you. 535-4500. That's 535-4500. The Point of Change Hospice. Caring for families. Caring for our community. Caring for you.
Coming up on Mondays at 9, it's Patrick Byrne, the CEO of Overstock.com. He's been trying to sound the alarm for several months now about a practice in the stock market called naked short selling that threatens to become a huge Wall Street scandal. How can you sell stock that you don't own and make big money on it? Another interesting scam you need to be aware of, and we'll be focusing on it this morning on Mondays at 9. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Did you know that 1 in 3 Americans believe padding their insurance claim is acceptable? Insurance criminals pad their claims by adding items that weren't stolen, or they lie on insurance applications about correct addresses. Insurance-related crime costs the average insured American $200 to $300 more a year in premiums. If you know of anyone committing insurance fraud, report it to the National Insurance Crime Bureau by calling 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB.
Greetings, St. Louis. For a fresh approach on the local sporting scene, check out The Oliver Show, Mondays from 7 to 8 p.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
Why should a 10-year-old murder story like JonBenet Ramsey get so much attention from the media? What about the one-year anniversary of the devastation from Katrina? Is that suffering not important? Who decides the news cycle and what is their criteria? We'll take a look at some critical media matters this morning at 8 with Peter Hart from the watchdog group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, exclusively here on The Wake Up Call.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Bryan.
Satin and silk, my white cotton feels so good. Search high and low for a place where I can lay my burdens down. Ain't nothing in the whole wide world like the peace that I have found. The little things and the joy they bring.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My guest this morning is Jim Harney. He's an analyst for the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. He's joining us from Virginia, and we're talking about the deficit. We're talking about priorities. Jim, one of the things I'd like to get to before we get any further is, can you define for us what is a recession?
There is no absolute simple definition. There is a group called at the National Bureau of Economic Research that looks at all the economic data and determines whether we're in a recession, usually after the fact. But basically it is when you have an economic slowdown, and in particular sometimes people think of it as a period where for two quarters in a row, that's 2 3-month periods, we have no or zero or negative economic growth.
And we're not there yet.
We certainly aren't. In fact, the economy has been growing at fast enough pace in recent months that the Federal Reserve Board has actually increased interest rates in order to keep the economy from growing overheated and triggering inflation. So we're not there now. As you indicated earlier, there certainly are some fears that, particularly because of decline in the housing market, that we could be coming close to a point where we would go into a recession. But right now, we're not, and that's why having a deficit of the size that we have right now is so troubling.
And when we talk about this particular budget deficit that we have right now under this administration, you said that it is not historic in its size, but it is historic in its own way, isn't it?
Well, to say it's historic in the sense that the economy is doing fairly well, although, you know, have to be careful to point out many, many people are not feeling the benefits of the economic growth. And in fact, despite the claims of the administration that the tax cuts that they proposed and that were enacted in recent years have triggered this wonderful economy, in fact, in most ways, this economic expansion is not as good as the average expansion since World War II in wages, in investment, in economic growth. It's below average. The only thing where it's well above average is in corporate profits. But the economy's doing okay as far as the economic growth, which produces revenues. And therefore, having a deficit of $260 billion, and particularly because we know things are not going to get better in coming years. It'd be one thing if we had $260 billion deficit, but it was temporary, and the deficit would go down. But in fact, if the president has his way and his tax cuts are made permanent, if the alternative minimum tax relief that's currently in place is extended, and even if we have a drawdown of troops in Iraq, we're looking at deficits over the next 10 years that will total $3.5 trillion, the average $349 billion a year, and never dip below 284. So that's very troubling, particularly because that really doesn't catch most of the effects of the baby boom population retiring, those effects really start after this next 10-year period is over.
And how much does this war in Iraq, war in Afghanistan, pending war in Iran, war in Lebanon, how much does that how much impact does that have on what our deficits look like?
It certainly has an impact. No one knows for sure exactly how much is being spent on the war in Iraq and Afghanistan because the money is not separated out for those purposes, but it's probably approaching something close to $100 billion a year. So that certainly has an impact. But that's a smaller impact than the tax cuts that were enacted in 2001 and 2003.
It's smaller than the tax cuts?
Smaller than the tax cuts. The tax cuts that were enacted, when you take into account the extra interest we're having to pay because of the reduced revenues, those tax cuts have cost $258 billion this year. So this year, if we had not done the tax cuts, we would essentially have a balanced budget, even with the cost of the war in Iraq and Afghanistan and the cost of responding to Katrina.
That's unreal. That fact is absolutely unreal. So in terms of the tax cut, where are we? Will we have the same tax cuts next year?
Right now the situation is that the tax cuts that were enacted in 2001, 2003, reductions in rates, special rates for capital gains, dividends, so on and so forth, under current law, they are scheduled to expire at the end of 2010. But the president and the Republican leadership in Congress wants to make them permanent. They have been trying all this year, in particular, to make the elimination of the estate tax permanent. So far, they've been unable to do that. The House has passed a bill that would make it permanent. Right before the House went out for its 5-week-long August recess, you may remember, they passed a bill that increased the minimum wage, but they combined that with permanent elimination of the estate tax. The Senate refused to take that bill up because Democrats and some Republicans said this is not a good idea to wrap these together. We should do a minimum wage increase, but it is not fair to hold that hostage to making the elimination of the estate tax permanent.
What would the elimination of the estate tax do?
Elimination of the estate tax would mean that people with very, very large estates would not have those estates taxed. Most people do not have to pay estate taxes. There's an exemption of something like $3 million. So only if you have an estate over $3 million does the estate have to pay taxes on that. Less than 2% of estates, and in fact it's going down because that exemption is increasing. And there have been moves in Congress to make that exemption even higher, to make sure that small businesses and farms are not harmed by this. But essentially what the president and the Republican leadership are trying to do is to eliminate the tax. So people with very, very large estates, these are not people that have small businesses, these are people that have huge holdings in stocks and huge corporations, that they could have estates of billions of dollars and pay no tax on those estates.
And what would that do to the budget if the estate tax was abolished?
Over the next 10 years, it would increase the deficit by hundreds of billions of dollars. And in the decades after that, by even more. It's a very large additional cost to the budget.
And where can people find out more information about this?
We have a number of papers on our website. That's the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. The website is www.cbpp.org.
Jim Harney, analyst for the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
My pleasure.
Take care. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back for your calls, questions, and concerns. Stay with me.
morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee. Westbound 70 at Warrenton, there's an overturned tractor-trailer reportedly in the left lane. Eastbound 44 at 109, look for an accident there. Eastbound 44 at Murdoch, there's an accident in the left shoulder. Eastbound 70 at Grand, look for an accident. It's been cleared, there may be some delays. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler all the way through Merrimack River Bridge, look for slow delays in the right lane as you approach 270. Northbound 270 from 55 to 44, look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 at K and Mid Rivers, it is slow. Eastbound 40 at 141 and 270, look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound route, or northbound 55 at Butler and 270, look for no problems to report. And all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, as well as downtown, you can expect some delays this morning just due to the morning rush. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's. McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee is now bolder, smoother, and more robust, and it's made just the way you like it. Drive through today and taste it for yourself. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms likely today, high around 80 this evening, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers with a low in the mid-60s. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day with a high around 80, and Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is holding at 74. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Coming up on Mondays at 9, it's Patrick Byrne, the CEO of Overstock.com. He's been trying to sound the alarm for several months now about a practice in the stock market called naked short selling that threatens to become a huge Wall Street scandal. How can you sell stock that you don't own and make big money on it? Another interesting scam you need to be aware of, and we'll be focusing on it this morning on Mondays at 9. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
I'm Controller Darlene Green, and I want to remind you that the first day of school for the St. Louis Public Schools is Monday, August 28th. This is expected to be one of our most rewarding years yet, with students, teachers, parents, and the community all working together. We welcome you back to a professional environment where academic excellence is the number one goal. Remember, the first day of school is Monday, August 28th.
The scorching hot day. Imagine being trapped in a parked car. The temperature inside is rising. Now imagine that you're wearing a fur coat. Leaving your dog in a hot car is not only uncomfortable, it's dangerous. If it's too hot for you, it's far worse for him because, unlike us, he can't perspire to cool down. And within minutes, the temperature, even with the windows down a little, can exceed 100 degrees. So on warm days, please be kind. Leave your dog safely at home.
For more information, contact PETA, 757-622-PETA.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, this is Lethea Owens with a Motivational Moment. If you always do what you've always done, then you will always get what you've always got. If you want something that you've never had, then you must do something that you've never done. If you always think the way you've always thought, then you will always get what you've always got. So please join me on Mondays from 1 to 2 for Motivational Mondays, where your dreams become reality on AM 920 WGNU.
Why should a 10-year-old murder story like JonBenet Ramsey get so much attention from the media? What about the one-year anniversary of the devastation from Katrina? Is that suffering not important? Who decides the news cycle and what is their criteria? We'll take a look at some critical media matters this morning at 8 with Peter Hart from the watchdog group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, exclusively here on The Wake Up Call. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Because you want to know what you're going to get in me. Just a little touch. just our qualities.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get up. Get to me. My goodness gracious, we have so much to talk about. And here's a heads up for you for your calendar for this weekend. The Urban Institute is going to be showing on the anniversary of the year anniversary of Katrina this Saturday. The Urban Institute will be showing Spike Lee's When the Levees Broke. It's a four-hour look at what happened in Hurricane Katrina, the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, the why of Hurricane Katrina. We will be showing that from 7 a.m. until 11 a.m. It's a four-hour look at Katrina, When the Levees Broke by Spike Lee. We will be showing that as part of the Urban Institute. That's this Saturday. The address is 1020 North Taylor. The, of course, admission is free. You need to come on down to the Urban Institute this Saturday at 7 a.m. We will be starting the first 2 hours, and then the second 2 hours will start from 9 to 11. So 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Urban Institute. The address is 1020 North Taylor. The time, 7 a.m. What we will be doing at the Urban Institute this weekend, we will be showing Spike Lee's When the Levees Broke on the anniversary of Katrina. You don't want to miss it. Come on down. We will have breakfast there for you. We will have a wonderful conversation for you, and it's always empowering to be able to watch a movie like this and to have a discussion about it and to really be inspired by what we need to do out here. So the Urban Institute will be showing the movie When the Levees Broke. That's the brand new Spike Lee movie about Katrina this Saturday from 7 a.m. until 11 a.m. The address is 1020 North Taylor. That's Irene J. Smith and myself. Join us on Saturdays. They talk about the death count from Katrina. They talk about it. Over 1,000 people died, men, women, and babies. Grandmothers, grandfathers, fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, babies, babies. Babies floating in the water. What is interesting is the fact that just like in Iraq, when they count the men and women who've died in Iraq, they stop counting the deaths once the bodies hit American soil. But there are lots of people that die as a result of Iraq when they get here, in the aftermath of Iraq. And there are lots of people who have died in the aftermath of Katrina that we haven't counted. Seventy-six-year-old men and women who have yet to go home and who have died waiting to go home. African-American seniors. What do we do with the elderly that have not been able to go back to their homes? How do they die? One 920 WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. you need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I'm proud of many Americans out here that understand, like I know all of you all that are going to be coming out to see the movie this Saturday at the Urban Institute. I know there will be many of you coming out, but I also am proud of others that come out and do things. Sunday, August 27th, George Bush's second cousin was to be married on Saturday. 700 protesters showed up in Kennebunkport, Maine, at a wedding to protest the war. I'm proud of them. I'm proud of them, you know. I mean, in all fairness, at every wedding, something happens that's not according to plan. 700 protesters showing up is definitely something that was not planned. The protesters were respectful. They showed up. They left a few hours before the services, but they wanted George Bush to know that we oppose this war forever and ever. Amen. The protesters left a few hours before the service. They took advantage of the fact that Boy George was going to be there. And 700 people wanted to showcase their opposition to a war. It's like everybody's getting a little Cindy Sheehan in them, huh? Everywhere he goes, there are protesters. And I think that we should make note of the significance of this. Bill Clinton didn't have this. It's not to say that he didn't have protesters, because he did. But nobody in recent history has had this kind of constant and huge number. 700 people at a wedding protest is a big deal. Is a big deal. And, you know, in terms of the karma, you know, the karma of things. It makes sense that George Bush would have to suffer for a year and more as a result of what he didn't do with Katrina. The fact that Condoleezza Rice was shoe shopping. George Bush didn't come off a vacation, neither did what's his name? Who shot his friend in the face and the heart. He didn't come off vacation either. And as Boy George's mama said, you know, they're better off here than they were where they were living before. I haven't forgotten that, have you? And it makes only sense in the sense of political karma that his response to this thing defines George Bush and his presidency. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. What is interesting to me is that nobody is saying when was the last time Bush was in the New Orleans area. Prior to his going down there, I believe it is today. When was the last time he was there? Shouldn't that be the question that the press is asking Boy George? When was the last time you were here in New Orleans? When was the last time you were here? 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. What What is hospice care? Families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. Through pain management, emotional counseling, support, and compassionate health care, the Point of Change Hospice treats the patient as a whole person facing end-of-life issues. The Point of Change Hospice provides physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of a terminal illness. They provide skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, home health aid, and homemaker aid, occupational therapy, physical therapy, chaplain and counseling services, bereavement follow-up, and trained hospice volunteers. Point of Change. Call. One of the counselors is waiting to talk to you. 535-4500. That's 535-4500. The Point of Change Hospice.
For the issues
coming up
that
on
matter
Mondays
most to you.
Nine, it's Patrick.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. For free estimates, call 602-1047. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Cairo. The U.S. government has stepped into the business of Sudan. Dynacorp International, a major U.S. security contractor, has been hired by the State Department to begin training thousands of former members of the Sudanese People's Liberation Army and transform them into professional soldiers. The plan is to create a new army in Sudan and create a stable country by creating a stable military force. Right now, the contracts only call for training, building bases, and providing communication systems. Dynacorp has also gotten contracts for the training of police in Iraq and soldiers in Liberia. And Dateline Moscow. Military war games have begun by the countries of Russia, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and Tajikistan under the direction of a collective security treaty that the four nations belong to. The games began last Thursday and are described as a readiness exercise for counterterrorism operations. But analysts say the military exercise is a direct response to perceived American military threats in the region, as well as planned American strikes against Iran. Reports in the Iran media say the U.S. is using Azerbaijan as an offset against Iran on the Caspian Sea. Iran has just about convinced leaders in Moscow that the region's best interests would be served by not having outside armed forces in and around the Caspian Sea. It is known that Russia would like to form a defense force that would deal with naval security of the Caspian Sea, but so far has been unable to obtain cooperation from its neighbors in that region. China and Kazakhstan began joint military exercises last week also, and Russia has signed a military cooperation arrangement with India as of last week. That will allow those two to focus on armed services interaction, joint training, and joint development of new weapon systems. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update, brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. Have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hey, yo, caller, away! folks. That's the Sloan Ranger. Catch him weekdays at 5 p.m. here on WGNU.
Why should a 10-year-old murder story like JonBenet Ramsey get so much attention from the media? What about the one-year anniversary of the devastation from Katrina? Is that suffering not important? Who decides the news cycle and what is their criteria? We'll take a look at some critical media matters this morning at 8 with Peter Hart from the watchdog group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, exclusively here on The Wake Up Call.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I watched a few morning talk shows this Sunday. This is what I do. I TiVo them, and I fast-forward through them when they tick me off and watch them in my own little way. And one of the things I thought was interesting as I watched the McLaughlin group on Sunday, when the question was asked of the white round table that they have of people figuring out what's going on in the world politically. The question was asked of whether or not Lieberman should be asked to leave the Democratic Party. And Eleanor Cliff, who's supposed to be the Democrat there, basically was like, it's no big deal what Lieberman is doing. Had no criticism of Lieberman for doing what he is doing. You don't have a problem with what Lieberman is doing? Lieberman has said, I'm an independent Democrat. Really? I don't think you are. I think you're a Republican. And in America, you have the right to be Republican, Democrat, independent. But what you don't have the right to do is to lie about it and to mislead people. Joseph Lieberman is now declaring himself a non-combatant. What does that mean? They asked him if he would campaign for other Democratic candidates. And Joe Lieberman said, I think it'll be better if I just focus on my own race. Huh? Huh? +1 877 920 WGNU. Now, this comment from Lieberman is significant. Because both analysts from both political parties believe that Lieberman's campaign would help the three Republicans keep their jobs. 75% of the people that are supporting Joe Lieberman comes from Republicans. If he succeeds in drawing more Republican voters to the polls to support his candidates, that could help Republican congressional candidates. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Joe Lieberman will be helping the Republican Party maintain a majority in the House and in the Senate. Ain't that something? But he wants to call himself an independent Democrat, and people like, what's her name? The so-called liberal on McLaughlin Group, Eleanor Clift. Says, you know, it's the Democrats win either way. When someone asked Joe Lieberman if he was endorsing the three Republican congressional candidates, he laughed. And then he said they hadn't asked for his endorsement. He didn't say no. Huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Morning, Liz. Yeah, it's funny to hear about the travails of these repugnocrats. I've always been thinking, you know, since the both Gore and Kerry and Bush were afraid to debate Nader, it would just be smarter to put, since we've got global warming and the economy is horrible and the Middle East is horrible, it'd be better to just get a Ralph Nader caretaker government. It makes sense, I think.
Mm.
yeah, it just seems like a nice possibility. One final thing. I was just, we've been dealing with, you know, out here in San Francisco, we've got a horror of an economy going on out here because, of course, the oil and gas boys are, they're charging as much as possible to San Francisco specifically. And then, of course, these same energy pirates did the Enron thing early in the year. And now they're, you know, they're constantly trying to force various economic burdens on California. And so it's kind of interesting. Hunter's Point is one of the most toxic places in San Francisco. It's the old shipyard for the Navy, and that's actually where many of the, I think, Fat Boy and the two atom bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were put together out here. So it's a very toxic waste dump. Yet it's probably, other than New Orleans, it was the longest-running black-owned neighborhood, you know, of fairly, you know, reasonable income. And so for this hazardous waste dump is now being eminent domained, and they're trying to get a whole bunch of, you know, sell the land out here, $600,000 for a postage stamp for a house. And they're thinking that they're going to, I guess they're going to try to sell it to white people, but this is one of the most hazardous waste dumps in the country. And so it's an interesting kind of thing, you know, if we're trying to run a referendum out here to put a stop to it, and to some degrees it's actually working out. We're doing a signature campaign, but this, you know, to get it on the ballot for November. But the interesting thing is, how are they going to be able to sell this land, even though it's got a view of downtown and the bay? It is Cancer Alley. The breast cancer rate out there is 1 in 6. You know, 17 people out of 100 are going to end up with breast cancer in that neighborhood.
Oh, but what of you? What of you?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. It's a very, you know, the wiles of money, they're not even smart enough to, you know, stop soiling their own bed.
Mm.
Very strange, yeah.
All right. Thank you,
Dan. Well, have a good morning, St. Louis.
All right. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I will be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
Revolution. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you. People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal.
such many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who stands
for the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. Final conversations on Comair Flight 5191 indicate what might have gone wrong.
Investigators have had their first chance to listen to the cockpit voice recorder, and it indicates the pilots knew they were supposed to be on runway 22, the right runway. They talked about it. They thought they were on that runway. Unfortunately, they were not.
ABC's Lisa Stark, the plane crashed and burned as it tried to take off in Lexington, Kentucky.
You've got all these glowing dials and gauges, and you're working with it, and you turn in the direction you think you are supposed to be, and you suppress the clues in your mind that might tell you otherwise.
ABC News aviation consultant John Nance. Federal officials meet this morning with victims' relatives. 49 of 50 people on board were killed. The co-pilot is in critical condition. Here comes Ernesto. There goes Atlantis. The shuttle's being rolled back to the hangar ahead of the on-again, off-again hurricane.
Ernesto is not a threat to the Kennedy Space Center right now, but the storm could still derail this mission. If it turns toward Texas, NASA is making standby plans. If mission control outside Houston has to be evacuated, that would cut the flight short. Right now, mission managers are evaluating how much damage was caused here at the launch pad by a lightning strike and whether they can repair things in time to launch tomorrow.
ABC's Vic Ratner. South Florida is under a hurricane watch with Ernesto moving closer, now a tropical storm hitting Cuba. 1 year ago today, Hurricane Katrina was in the Gulf Coast forecast. ABC's Alex Stone is in New Orleans today.
Most of the lower Ninth Ward still has no power, even if people wanted to move back in. Many places have no running water. This is an area where in most of these neighborhoods, it looks like the storm could have hit yesterday. There's debris everywhere. The windows are blown out of the homes. Most of the houses have no front doors on them.
President Bush is due in the region. His visit includes a church service in New Orleans on the one-year anniversary. This is ABC News.
We all have tricks to get going on Monday morning. I've heard hide your alarm clock or go to bed 3 hours earlier on Sunday. Mine is simple. Kids and a dog. Nothing says rise and shine like a wet nose in the ear and a three-year-old pulling on your eyelid asking,
Mommy sleeping?
My other trick, Carnation Instant Breakfast.
With twice the protein of an egg and 21 vitamins and minerals, Carnation Instant Breakfast has the complete nutrition you need to get going.
Kids and a dog are also the cure for the common nap.
Mommy sleeping?
Nestle Carnation Instant Breakfast. Serious morning fuel.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For instance, the just-in-time inventory that really is dynamic. Or the every SKU already has a customer dynamic. Or the I've escaped from the crushing shackles of my supply chain dynamic. How do you achieve these kinds of dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
The woman thought to be the world's oldest person has died in Ecuador. ABC's Dave Schreiber has the story.
Maria Esther de Capovia was the oldest person on Earth, according to Guinness World Records. The Ecuadorian woman died at age 116. Capovia became ill last week with pneumonia. It seems that an American woman will now get the honor as the world's oldest person. Elizabeth Bolden of Memphis, Tennessee, is also 116, just 11 months younger than the woman who has passed away. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
Five seasons in, 24 wins an Emmy for Best Drama. The Office won for Best Comedy after almost getting a pink slip in its first season. And this winner kept pinching herself.
I'm winning an Emmy in my eighth season. It's crazy. On a police procedural. I mean, it's really crazy. Who wins in police procedurals? I do.
Mishka Hargitay won for her role on Law & Order SVU. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
This WGNU news update is brought to you by New Advil PM. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, a former Jefferson County man will spend nearly 4 years in prison for kidnapping his daughter. Arlen Hill was sentenced Friday to 45 months in prison for international parental kidnapping, identity theft, and other charges. Prosecutors say Hill took his then 17-month-old daughter in June of 2002. Hill and his daughter were found in June of 2005 in New Zealand. In other news, a Florida man will be sentenced in November on charges involving an internet escort service. Vincent Sansone pleaded guilty on Friday to one count of racketeering and one count of conspiracy to entice an individual to travel interstate to engage in prostitution. Prosecutors say Sansone's online escort service, Window of Elegance Escorts, was actually a prostitution enterprise. An undercover police officer arranged to meet one of Sansone's escorts in St. Louis in March. And finally, for this hour, the leader of a St. Louis area drug ring will spend the next 35 years in prison. Adrian Minnis was sentenced Friday for what prosecutors say was a heroin and cocaine distribution conspiracy. Former St. Louis police officer Antoine Gordon is serving a 97-month prison term for using his job to tell other members of the drug ring about people who were working as police informants. Minnis' brothers, Antonio and Terrell Minnis, are among 20 others in prison for the conspiracy. And that's an update of WGNU News for this hour. It's been brought to you by New Advil PM. Aches and pains keeping you up? Big news! New Advil PM is here, the multi-pain relieving power of Advil, plus a gentle sleep aid. New Advil PM, stop hurting and start sleeping. I'm Peyton Colston reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Eastbound 40 between Ballast and Spady, look for a disabled vehicle blocking left center lane. Traffic jams approaching Mason in both directions. 70 at Warrington, an overturned tractor-trailer truck has left lane blocked in both directions. So just use caution way out in West St. Charles County. Northbound 55 onto the ramp to south, northbound 270. Look for an accident. Left lane's blocked and traffic is backing up through Butler Hill this hour. Westbound 270 at West Florissant. There's an accident reported. Westbound 270 at Bell Fountain and New Halls Ferry. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 44 between Mraz Overpass and Merrimack River Bridge. Look for slow traffic. And eastbound 70 at K and Mid Rivers. Look for slow traffic. And all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays in your 8 a.m. commute. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play pick three from the Illinois Lottery. Watch for green ball, double draw, one green ball, two chances to win. The Illinois Lottery. Have a ball. Play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Showers and thunderstorms likely today. High around 80 this evening. Mostly cloudy. A chance of showers with a low in the mid-60s for Tuesday. Mostly cloudy in the morning. Partly sunny by the afternoon. High around 80. And Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 80s. Currently, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 74. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that the below me.
But the high
God truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. My goodness gracious. My goodness gracious. JonBenet in the news? Why? Why are we seeing all of these stories about JonBenet? We're not hearing a lot of stories. The type of analysis that we should be hearing as we take a year-long look back at Katrina, the impact, the ramifications, what it reveals, what it doesn't reveal. Why are we focusing on JonBenet, a child that has been dead for 10 years, a story that is over 10 years old, instead of a continuing story of Katrina with thousands of people, over 1,000 of people died and thousands of people's lives have been changed forever. We need to talk about the why of this. And we need to talk about the impact of the why of this. To facilitate that conversation, we have Peter Hart, a media analyst with FAIR, joining us from New York City. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
We seem to have a fixation on JonBenet. Why is that? Why is that?
Somebody has a fixation on JonBenet Ramsey. I'm not sure who it is. I know a lot of the people who run cable news channels find it an irresistible tale of depravity and beauty pageants, and now we have this alleged suspect who fits perfectly into the storyline because he himself is a bit unusual, and that leads to more hours of endless speculation about a story that really affects very few people in the country. You brought up the comparison with Katrina, which is probably the most obvious one this week, and I think the difference is Katrina is something that affects all of us, and it's something that we should all think about, and it points fingers directly at government agencies and bureaucrats who drop the ball and who literally have blood on their hands. Would you rather talk about that, or would you rather talk about this kind of tawdry, salacious family murder mystery? The cable networks have made their choice, and they know very well what sells better. The ratings are better for the news channels. The ratings are better for Nightline when they do this. So it's money. It's a matter of getting a slightly bigger audience every time. And you'll hear a lot of these media executives say, well, we're just giving people what they want. And I don't think that's true. I think people will respond to different kinds of content if it's available to them. With this, they're shoving this down our throats and getting a tiny uptick in the ratings, but that tiny increase is all that they're really concerned with.
And do we also have to factor in, or don't we also have to factor in, the issue of race with this, Peter? I mean, we have a little blonde girl who is dead. And doesn't that capture the interest of the media moguls?
Yeah, and a certain audience. There's a fantastic story that was written in Essence magazine, July 2005, called "Have You Seen Her?"
I know. I had the author on my show.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know, you look at a piece like that, and it's undeniable that you take these several cases, and the main difference is the fact that we have in several cases, young white women who, for whatever reason, the logic of television news, these are more attractive, empathetic cases, and that is what they go with because it makes for a better story. People respond to this differently, or at least that's what they think, and that's the message that they want to send. This is the problem with stories like this, is that you listen to these media executives who tell you, you know, we're giving people what they want. Well, these are the people who give us what we want or what we don't want. It doesn't matter. This is what we get. Mm-hmm. And the fact that some people respond to it does not indicate that there is a national hunger for JonBenet news. It demonstrates that there is a cable news hunger for this story. And the absurdity is...
And let's take a break on that. I'm talking to Peter Hart, media analyst with FAIR, joining us from New York. We'll be back. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
Hi, I'm Veronica O'Brien, your president for the St. Louis Board of Education. I would like to remind you that the first day of school for the St. Louis Public Schools is Monday, August 28th. This year will be one of our most exciting, with new leadership and renewed enthusiasm. Students, parents, and community, we welcome you back. Remember, education is the key to your success, and it starts on the first day of school for St. Louis Public School District, Monday, August 28th.
This is Jim Curran, Curran Events. I'm delighted to say that Curran Events is now on Monday nights from 8 to 10 o'clock. Right here on AM 920 WGNU, the station for the issues that matter most.
Coming up on Mondays at 9, it's Patrick Byrne, the CEO of Overstock.com. He's been trying to sound the alarm for several months now about a practice in the stock market called naked short selling that threatens to become a huge Wall Street scandal. How can you sell stock that you don't own and make big money on it? Another interesting scam you need to be aware of, and we'll be focusing on it this morning on Mondays at 9. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Butterfly, I sting like a hornet. They won't let me have it, not even if no one else want it. And if I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm
the greatest man alive.
Cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm
the greatest man alive.
I can't sweat it, no, I got to get it. I'm
the greatest man alive.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This morning I am talking to Peter Hart, media analyst with FAIR, joining us from New York City. And we're talking about media coverage, the fixation on JonBenet and not on Katrina. Peter, welcome back.
My pleasure.
And when we look at this fixation of the media and the decisions that they make of what it is that we want to watch, what stories are we not getting about Katrina that we should be getting if the media was interested in bringing us what we are really interested in?
You know, a story that we did for our magazine Extra, and it's on our website at www.fair.org, is recalling that in the days after Katrina made landfall in the Gulf Coast, there was this renewed, or whatever you want to call it, media appetite for discussions of class and poverty and race. And you were going to, if you took these people at their word, see a brand new type of journalism in this country. We were going to confront these issues head on and talk about how they affected the government response to Katrina and what we could do in the years ahead to address problems of poverty. Those stories lasted for 2 or 3 weeks, and they were since gone from the media. And I think it's probably a business decision more than anything else. This is not the kind of stuff that advertisers want people reading about, listening to, or watching. And when that's the factor, the overriding factor in commercial media, then you're not going to see that coverage. And also, again, I think it plays into the fact that there are lessons here that we might not want to learn, or we might not want to discuss. There is government culpability in all corners here, and that's not the story that folks want to tell. You know, there's a story in the New York Times today about the two images of Bush, George Bush, the first when he visited New York shortly after September 11th, and the second when they made the audacious decision to tilt the plane so he could fly over.
Yeah, so he could fly over
New Orleans. And,
yeah.
You know, the point of the piece is that the second one was perhaps a mistake on the White House's part, nothing like the first one. And I think
at this point
people would argue, you know, maybe the second one was a true reflection of how they really felt about this story at the time.
Because, I mean, Peter, I'm just talking about a human instinct. I mean, what is the human instinct when you know that there is that much suffering going on and you are the president of the United States and you have the means to land on water and proclaim banners about what's going on? Your instinct is simply to tilt the plane and do a flyover? Of course that says more about who you are, because this was human suffering that was right here on American soil, and these were Americans. And you were nowhere to be found.
Yeah, it was a really revealing moment. And from the perspective of White House PR officials, they're trying to figure out how to get people to forget that that ever happened. And a lot of the political media, I think they approach stories the same way. How to massage the rhetoric, how to get the story back on track, how the White House can get its groove back. You know, we've read probably 8 different times that there's a bounce in the polls and Bush is back and he's confident and they've got new folks in high places at the White House. Nothing ever changes, nothing ever happens, but political reporters want to tell that story of momentum and change, and in the case of Katrina, it's a very difficult, if not impossible, story to tell, so you've gotta reject it out of hand.
But Peter, also, didn't media use Katrina from the perspective of, didn't many in the media use the telling of the story of Katrina as a means to get a bit of their own credibility back because of what they didn't do when they were looking at Bush? And once they got their credibility back, they were done with it, that, you know, the date's over, our relationship's over, and I'm going to go back to who I was?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true. You know, there was this outpouring of emotion on the air and off by a lot of reporters. And when you go back and you read some of the behind-the-scenes accounts, what was happening is that these are reporters who are used to being handled very closely and carefully by politicians, political parties, etc., being guided through a story. This was a case where these reporters were, in many cases, stuck in the same circumstances that Katrina survivors were.
Mm-hmm.
There was no one sending them press releases to sort of guide the news that day. So when you're interviewing a public official and they're lying to you, you can turn around and say, you know what, you're lying to the people. You're lying to me. This is outrageous. And I think people responded to that. They thought, well, this is what a journalist is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to say, hey, A and B, that doesn't add up. You should tell the truth next time or this time. That was the passion that is usually missing from television broadcasting. And a lot of reporters, frankly, I think, got, as you were saying, you know, they felt like they got some of their credibility back, and they were almost thumping their chests too loudly about this, that really the story of Katrina was about them and their bravery in the face of the adverse odds. You know, if I have to watch another clip reel where Anderson Cooper is the principal story about New Orleans, you know, I think I might vomit. That did make him a star, yes, but when your publicity machine turns that story into you and not into the suffering that you were there to cover, there's something really kind of crass and grotesque about that. And I think that's the reality for a lot of media, because they went right back to business as usual 3 weeks later.
And we are also seeing some attempts by this administration to find the back, you know, using their PR machine to find the good stories. Isn't there one, and I don't remember what his name is, but there's one Republican that's being touted, Rocky, someone that is being used to push the idea that Bush has done a lot to help down in New Orleans and things are better off because of Bush's help down in New Orleans?
Yeah, they, you know, decided they were going to have a real-life Katrina survivor come to Washington and meet with the president. Just so happened to be a dyed-in-the-wool Bush supporter, even now, to this day, wished that Bush could have a third term because he's been doing such a great job.
And we know that because he said that when he was talking to Bush.
Yeah, and congratulated Bush on the response to Katrina. Now, I haven't been down to the Gulf Coast to interview people, but my guess is that you'll find very few people who think that Bush should either serve a third term or performed admirably in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. The White House, on the other hand, was able to find this guy, which I think really speaks to their intelligence gathering abilities when they need them.
Should we fault the White House for doing it? Because it's not, the White House didn't get people to tell the story of this guy without a critical eye.
Yeah, and you know, there was one headline in the Washington Post that said, you know, Democrats dismissed this as a PR stunt.
There you go. So
which is what it was.
But they put it as, they made it a political assessment as opposed to an accurate assessment. That it's just those Democrats that are saying it's a political stunt as opposed to the reporters saying, look, this guy is a Republican hack that supports George Bush. Why are we making him a story as a Katrina survivor meets with George W. Bush?
Yeah, you know, and I think you're going to see a lot of that in the next couple of days. There's a story in the New York Times today that points out that Democrats are down in the Gulf Coast to capitalize politically on the story, whereas the Republicans in the White House are there just to explain their side of events. And in fact, you know, the opposite is really true. The White House and Republicans need to be down there to try to assert that there is something that they've done substantively to help this rebuilding process. And Democrats are there as critics of that. This is, you know, all politics on all sides, but you've got to evaluate the reality and not the political rhetoric.
And there's a real story down there. There is a story of success or failure, isn't there?
Absolutely. And I think it's a simple story. You know, walk the streets of New Orleans and figure out what has happened. Instead, we have this obsession over whether Ray Nagin should have made a comparison to Ground Zero in New York City. That's the story, because it's an easy one to cover, because it's a politician who may have put his foot in his mouth. The reality of the state of New Orleans and some of the surrounding area is, of course, much more important, but this is an easier story to cover.
But
it's a typical.
Do we also see, because I was watching 60 Minutes, and I watched the Meet the Press, and I've read the stories about Ray Nagin, and I'm not a fan of Ray Nagin from an African perspective. I'm not pleased with the things that he has done with regard to the people of African descent in the city. But that aside, does it seem like, Peter, that there is an attempt now to put all of the blame of the what hasn't happened in New Orleans on Ray Nagin?
I think so. I think there's a, you know, and I think he has to bear some responsibility, of course, as every official should. I think there's a sense in the media, kind of like in the days after Katrina, the media were hepped up because they were challenging public officials. I think some felt that maybe we didn't challenge this guy in the same way. And he certainly has a record of perhaps unfortunate public statements or pronouncements, at least in the eyes of a lot of the reporters covering this. So they have something to, you know, they have something of a clip reel to play whenever Ray Nagin says something that's controversial.
But isn't it really a reality check when somebody says, why isn't New Orleans fixed? And he says, well, 5 years after 9/11, y'all still haven't fixed that hole in the ground in New York.
Yeah, I mean, if it was Ray Nagin's job to personally go clean up all the debris, and he didn't.
Yeah.
I could see that. But the fact of the matter is there's a complex bureaucratic problem here. And you've got different federal agencies, state agencies, city agencies, all responsible for this, and they failed.
And let's talk about that. Let's talk about that when we come back. I'm talking to Peter Hart, media analyst with FAIR. He's joining us from New York. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the NFL. In both directions, 70 at Warrington, all roadways are reopened after emergency crews cleared an overturned tractor-trailer. Northbound 55 on the ramp to northbound 270. That accident's been cleared. Westbound 270 at West Florissant, that accident's been cleared as well. Northbound 270 at Gravois, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked and traffic's backed up through Sappington. Westbound 70 at Adelaide, there's an accident reported. Westbound 70 at Shreve, there's an accident reported. And westbound 270 at Belt Fountain and New Halls Ferry, look for a very heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. All your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays. And eastbound 70 at 370 in Zumbel is slowed down as drivers take a look at the accident on South Service Road near Zumbel. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the NFL. Football is back and better than ever. The NFL opening kickoff presented by Sprint. It all starts Thursday, September 7th at 8 p.m. on NBC. Sponsored in part by GM. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Showers and thunderstorms likely, high around 80 today. This evening, mostly cloudy, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the mid-60s. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny by the afternoon, high around 80. And Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 74. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare. Still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Laurie Falkerson. Join me every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 920 WGNU. You'll enjoy hearing stories of people who are making the difference in the lives of others. Join me, Laurie Falkerson, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU.
Coming up on Mondays at 9, it's Patrick Byrne, the CEO of Overstock.com. He's been trying to sound the alarm for several months now about a practice in the stock market called naked short selling that threatens to become a huge Wall Street scandal. How can you sell stock that you don't own and make big money on it? Another interesting scam you need to be aware of, and we'll be focusing on it this morning on Mondays at 9.
What is hospice care? Families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. Through pain management, emotional counseling and support, and compassionate health care, the Point of Change Hospice treats the patient as a whole person facing end-of-life issues. Point of Change provides skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, occupational therapy, physical therapy, chaplain and counseling services, bereavement follow-up, support for the terminally ill and their families, trained hospice volunteers. Call. One of our counselors is waiting to talk to you. 535-4500. That's 535-4500. The Point of Change Hospice. Caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I am talking to Peter Hart, media analyst with FAIR, joining us from New York, and we're talking about the media coverage of Katrina, the media coverage of JonBenet, and the media non-coverage of a lot of other issues. Peter, one of the things that I would like to know is, are you aware of anyone or the media's coverage of the number of elected officials that have, and I'm talking about the members of Congress, that have been to New Orleans and the Gulf Coast throughout this year? Can we look at all of them and say, you know, a pox on all of your houses, because it seems like everybody's only there today?
Yeah, you know, it's the kind of thing that gets media coverage when it happens, and when it's not happening, media don't write about it. Not happening all that often. So you're going to see stories in the newspapers in the next couple of days, and you'll see video on cable news channels and whatnot of prominent politicians going there. You know, probably no one's going to get as much attention as when Bush flew in for a night. They turned the lights on so he could do his press conference, to, you know, vowing to do more and to fight poverty, and then the lights went out in the French Quarter once he left. That's the kind of stunt that gets coverage, and what happens afterwards or in the ensuing days, weeks, and months is always infinitely less interesting to reporters. What's apparently interesting is George Bush's trip to New Orleans, not the trip of the residents of the city out of the city and then back to their homes or what's left of their homes. That's not a story that's as important, and I think it's because media priorities always value powerful officials, elected officials, over regular folk.
And do we know of how other elected officials, how they did go, or whether they did go to the Gulf Coast in the year before?
I've never seen anyone sort of do a tally. You know, the folks that you see on the news tend to be representatives from the area. So mm-hmm. You see the senators from Louisiana on television a lot more often because they're going back to check up. But
is it fair for us to try to make that evaluation, given the fact that we know that elected officials hustle off to Iraq and hustle off to Iran and hustle off all over the place, all over the world, fighting terror? When we had this act here that happened, this horrible act that affected Americans on American soil, shouldn't our elected officials be evaluated based upon their attentiveness and participation in the healing of Katrina? I mean, healing of the Gulf Coast?
I think so. I think it's fair to ask where they are. I think this is one of those stories, again, where you've got no winners. You know, your side didn't perform admirably, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. And for Democrats, it's an opportunity to point out that the White House didn't do a good job. But, you know, political accountability runs both ways. So I think you have a lot of politicians who are sort of shying away from getting too close to that story, just because I don't think anyone comes out looking good. You know, politicians go two places because there's a political moment to take advantage of. So they're going to be there today. They're not going to be there next week. They weren't there a month ago. And our media is going to cover it in the same way. Katrina is going to be very important this week. Not so important next week for most of them. So I think they share that in common with the elected officials. I mean, you can't... If you're CBS News and you're not covering this story very regularly, you're not going to do a report about how Congress doesn't care because you haven't differentiated yourself all that much. Mm.
In terms of the stories about the debacle within this administration of the no-bid contracts and the extraordinary money that has been wasted from our government, which story got bigger play? The story of Girls Gone Wild, DVDs being purchased with the little $2,000 giveaways that they had, or the tens of millions of dollars given away to FOGs, Friends of Georgia's, and through these no-bid contracts?
I think the obvious answer is that the petty kind of corruption or misappropriation is always going to get more attention. One thing that I think hasn't gotten much attention at all is the fact that you have to read the Paul Krugman in the New York Times today to know about the funds that haven't been allocated. You had billions of dollars that were granted to the federal government to help in the rebuilding process, and they've given out something like $100 million because the bureaucracy that's I think entrenched in all this has worked so slowly. So you have towns that have to prove that trees fell down during Hurricane Katrina and all this before they can get any help removing them, and I think a lot of towns say, forget it, we need to figure out some way to do this on our own. So they're, all, in a sense, rejecting the federal help because it's too cumbersome and takes too long. That's a scandal. It should be a national outrage. I've never read about it until today.
And in terms of the federal response to the result of Katrina, has there been much analysis on the Department of Homeland Security as opposed to the FEMA?
I think one of the great scandals of Katrina is that Homeland Security escaped scrutiny. And, you know, we have a radio show every week called Counterspin, and right after Katrina, there was one reporter with the Knight Ridder chain, or the former Knight Ridder chain, who looked at the chain of command in a disaster and said, Homeland Security is the one responsible for this. And this guy heading up FEMA, Michael Brown, he's certainly a strange character and doesn't seem to have any qualifications to do what he was doing, but it was Homeland Security that was ultimately responsible. And Michael Chertoff and his department escaped media scrutiny from this, and I think it's because he cut a different figure. You know, he seemed much more on top of things and wasn't out there bumbling through press conferences, so reporters gave him a pass, when in fact he's the one who should have been held to account in the same way that Michael Brown was.
And did it also have to do with the fact that the media was used to telling stories from the perspective of the Bush administration? Brownie was easier to cull out than a Michael Chernoff.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's something to be said for being closer to the power, and the fact that Brown was not well known, had a resume that didn't seem to indicate that he should have had the job in the first place. What Chertoff, I think, was closer to the Beltway power structure, closer to a lot of reporters, no doubt.
And closer to Bush.
And closer to Bush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of those things, I think, certainly helped him escape with his job intact. When he probably should have been, I think, he should have been paying a much higher price than he was.
So the media coverage that we're going to get today, tomorrow, Friday, all throughout this week, assessing the year anniversary of Katrina, will it be back to business as usual in terms of protecting the administration or giving the administration a pass?
I think so. I think it's, you know, you have a tendency in the media to, in cases like this where they were much more critical than they usually are. So you go all out with a story, and then you pull back, and you say, well, wait a second, isn't it a time to heal and stop pointing fingers? There is this sense in the mainstream media, especially in the sort of elite media, that stories die and you move into a different phase. And right now we're in the rebuilding recovery phase, and you stop pointing fingers because that would be too political, too politicized, when in fact it's what people deserve. They deserve to know who failed.
But is that the job of newspapers to make that decision, that a story is too politicized to report?
That's the way they see their job, and that's the problem.
We're going to take a break. We're talking to Peter Hart, media analyst with FAIR. He's joining us from New York City. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. What is hospice care? Families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. Through pain management, emotional counseling and support, and compassionate health care, the Point of Change Hospice treats the patient as a whole person facing end-of-life issues. Founded in 2001, the Point of Change Hospice provides physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of terminal illness. Point of Change Hospice provides skilled hospice nursing, chaplain and counseling services, occupational therapy and physical therapy, bereavement follow-up, trained hospice volunteers. Please give us a call. One of our trained counselors is waiting to talk to you. 535-4500. That's 535-4500. The Point of Change Hospice. Caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Tehran. Iranian officials say that a heavy water production plant went into operation this weekend as part of its nuclear enrichment program. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says his nation's program is no threat to any other nation, not even Israel, which he called a definite threat to all the people of the region. Western officials say if Iran can make its own heavy water, it's a huge move forward for them to start construction of a nuclear bomb. It is already in the process of constructing a nuclear reactor, which is scheduled for completion in 3 years. The International Atomic Energy Agency is supposed to present a report on Iran's program by the middle of next month, and those findings could lead to sanctions by the UN. And Dateline Baghdad. The British military last week turned over a military base to the control of Iraqi forces. Less than a day later, the entire facility had been completely looted of everything of value, including roofing, windows, and plumbing. Some 1,200 British forces left the Abu Najdi camp near Amara in the southern province of Maysa at noon on Thursday as part of a planned handover of control to local forces. The base had been a frequent target of mortar attacks by insurgents. Furniture, metal sheets from the roofs, generators, and nearly anything of value was stripped by a crowd of about 2,000 that had gathered outside the camp at the pullout time. Whatever was left at the camp was then set ablaze. During the early part of the war, the base was very peaceful, as insurgents concentrated their fighting in other parts of the country. But several months after the invasion in 2003, 6 British soldiers were killed in an attack on a nearby town as sectarian violence began to flare as various local militias started a struggle for power in a vacuum. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Coming up on Mondays at 9, it's Patrick Byrne, the CEO of Overstock.com.
He's been trying to sound the alarm for several months now about a practice in the stock market called naked short selling that threatens to become a huge Wall Street scandal. How can you sell stock that you don't own and make big money on it? Another interesting scam you need to be aware of, and we'll be focusing on it this morning on Mondays at 9. The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Grandma's hands used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hands picked me up each time I fell low. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy, she said. Nancy, don't you whip that boy. What you want to spank?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. This morning, not this hour, I am talking to Peter Hart, media analyst with FAIR, joining us from New York City. And Peter, can we switch for a second from Katrina to the coverage of Joe Lieberman?
Sure. I think Joe Lieberman went into this primary race in Connecticut as a media favorite because he sort of represents model for Democrats, I think, for a lot of reporters, political reporters. Congenial, friendly to the other side, hostile to elements of his party's political base, particularly on the war. But
and he'll tell Democratic secrets?
Yeah, you know, he's a favorite of Sean Hannity in the Fox News crowd because he's very willing and perhaps eager to distance himself from Democrats and Democratic ideas. So Democrats in Connecticut got the odd idea that perhaps we want someone else to represent us, which is what a primary election is all about. But to read a lot of the coverage of this race leading up to the vote, you would have thought that the Democratic Party was this Stalinist cult that was unwilling to accept any kind of dissent. That's, I think, very reflective of the media love for Joe Lieberman and what he represents, a different kind of Democratic Party that I think a lot of national reporters would prefer. It's coincidentally a Democratic Party that probably wouldn't win very many elections.
Well, isn't it? It is easier for the media as it the larger media, elite media as it exists today. It's easier for them to report on a Lieberman than to report on those who oppose him. Because there's no, they don't have access to that group of people or that way of thinking because that's not who they report about.
Yeah,
they would have to learn
totally outside the circle of power in Washington. Joe Lieberman's squarely inside it. So this is a defeat, I think, for the media as much as it is for Lieberman or for Lieberman-like elements in the Democratic Party. He was part of the gang, and he was taken down by people who were very much outside that circle and who are frankly dismissive of it and who sneer at it at every opportunity because they think it doesn't represent America, it doesn't represent the Democratic Party. That is a problem for a lot of reporters because it's the world that they live in and it's their orbit.
But aren't we also seeing missing in this media assessment of what is going on with Joe Lieberman the support that the Republican Party is giving Joe Lieberman, defining him as I read an article today saying that Joe Lieberman, 80% of his support is coming from Republican voters, and he may, in fact, make it possible for more Republicans to win House seats because more Republicans will come out to vote for Joe Lieberman in a race where Republicans weren't really going to be inspired to come out because they didn't have a good candidate in the race.
Yeah, I mean, the political maneuvering here is really something to behold. There is a Republican candidate for Senate in Connecticut. The Republican Party wants nothing to do with him. George Bush doesn't offer any voice of support. Neither do people at the national RNC. They don't want him to run. I don't think they have any particular affection for him. They have decided that Joe Lieberman, the quote-unquote Democrat running as an independent, would be a better senator than a Republican. Well, what does that say? And I think it's a remarkable thing for all of the the ink that was spilled over this insurgency against democratic values that Joe Lieberman holds, the fact that the Republicans are very cynically not backing their own candidate, but instead sending money via a new kind of swift boat style group that will independently tout Joe Lieberman's credentials and hopefully win him the election, the general election, that's not getting any kind of pickup.
And I was watching Eleanor Clift on the McLaughlin group yesterday morning, and it was stunning because she's held out as a liberal for the Democrats, and she was not critical of Joe Lieberman running as an independent.
No, you know, and this idea that, well, if it didn't work when you ran as a Democrat, just run again as an independent and see how it goes.
But shouldn't
it's the
there
kind
be?
Of thing that if in most other cases, I think political reporters would shun it, or they'd at least criticize it for being unbelievably poor taste and strategically a huge mistake for your party.
Well,
that's not what Joe Lieberman's about.
But wouldn't they also,
staying in power.
But wouldn't they also be describing it as an extraordinarily disloyal thing for a person to be doing?
Yeah, you know, there's never been a big media appetite for third party candidacy.
Anyway,
usually considered a way to spoil the beauty of the two party system. In this case, very little of that kind of commentary. When Ralph Nader has run for president, for example, had a lot of people express criticism across the political spectrum about him ruining the process. This is a case where Joe Lieberman's doing much the same thing and escaping scrutiny because, again, he, I think, represents the kind of democratic values that a lot of political reporters and pundits wish more Democrats would express.
And also, isn't there kind of an interesting silence in the media in New York that is with the Hillary Clinton has opposition to Tassini?
Yeah, Jonathan Tassini, who's a longtime labor activist and has decided to run a very Ned Lamont-style campaign against a pro-war Democrat. The difference being, of course, that Tassini's got a little under $200,000 on hand. Lamont was a millionaire in his own right, so he could spend the money that he needed to get name recognition. Hillary Clinton's running from him at every possible turn, doesn't want to debate him, and that's even, I think, awakened some of the New York print media to say, at least cut the guy a break and give him a debate. We deserve that.
Didn't the media in New York come up with some crazy rule that says that if you don't have 10% or you don't have a certain amount of money raised by a certain amount of time, then you're not a viable candidate?
Yeah, you know, usually when you're making rules for who gets to debate and who doesn't, you say it's name recognition or support in the polls. And, you know, they put it at 5%, sometimes 10%. In this case, 10, well, the problem is that Tassini has 13% support in the polls, even though he has almost no money to run a campaign. So they added, well, you know, you also have to have $500,000 in the bank, because that really indicates that you have support. People have given you money. As we've pointed out, and certainly others have as well, having money in the bank means that you have the support of people with money who are willing to give it to you.
And
that
how
doesn't
did
mean
that,
you have support,
and
broadly.
How did that work out for Lieberman? He had plenty of money in the bank.
Exactly. But there is this notion, and I think it's very popular in the press, that's the indication that you've arrived and that you're a serious contender, that you've got money in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
My guess, and I guess a fair, is that if you had a debate and people got to see it and they got to understand where Tassini stood and how he differed with Hillary Clinton, he'd have money.
Absolutely. Peter Hart, media analyst with FAIR. Where can people find FAIR, Peter?
www.fair.org.
Very good. Thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
Take care.
You too.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back in the next hour to have a bit of a chat about, well, you're going to hear about it, stock options in California. Stay with us.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you decide?
But the hard truth is...
life is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. Jitters in the Florida forecast with Ernesto on the way. The first hurricane of the Atlantic season is back down to tropical storm status, but that could change again. ABC's Jeffrey Kaufman is in Key West.
They're taking no chances here. Hurricane watch already in effect from Broward County, Fort Lauderdale area, that is, down to here in the Keys, and a mandatory evacuation of tourists and residents of mobile homes. Overnight, the forecast track moved a little bit more to the east, away from Key West and to the lower Keys and to Miami. But this is going to keep changing.
NASA has rolled Atlantis back into the hangar ahead of the storm. Ernesto's hitting Cuba right now. Hurricane Katrina was in the Gulf Coast forecast 1 year ago. ABC's Alex Stone is in New Orleans today.
This neighborhood is silent, except for the birds that I can hear. There's nothing else. The homes still have spray paint on the front identifying how many bodies were found inside. Many of the homes have no front doors. They have no windows. There's still moldy furniture inside. There's a building in front of me right now with a sign on it that says dead dog inside.
President Bush visits the region soon in time for the anniversary. Gun battles and bombs have killed dozens in Iraq today on the heels of even more bloodshed.
It was a bad weekend for both the U.S. military and for Iraqis. 8 U.S. soldiers were killed over the weekend in 5 separate incidents, and upwards of 69 Iraqis were killed around the country, most of them outside of Baghdad, in sectarian fighting.
ABC's Miguel Marquez in Baghdad, looking for clues to figure out why a Com Air commuter plane crashed in Lexington, Kentucky, killing 49 people. Investigators say it tried to take off from the wrong runway.
We'll be conducting interviews. We'll be taking a look at the airport. We'll be taking a look at the wreckage. We'll be collecting information, histories, backgrounds.
The NTSB's Debbie Herzman, the co-pilot, the sole survivor, is in critical condition. This is ABC News.
We all have tricks to get going on Monday morning. I've heard hide your alarm clock or go to bed 3 hours earlier on Sunday. Mine is simple. Kids and a dog. Nothing says rise and shine like a wet nose in the ear and a 3-year-old pulling on your eyelid asking,
is Mommy sleeping?
My other trick, Carnation Instant Breakfast.
With twice the protein of an egg and 21 vitamins and minerals, Carnation Instant Breakfast has the complete nutrition you need to get going.
Kids and a dog are also the cure for the common nap.
Mommy sleeping?
Nestle Carnation Instant Breakfast. Serious morning fuel.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For instance, the just-in-time inventory that really is dynamic. Or the every SKU already has a customer dynamic. Or the I've escaped from the crushing shackles of my supply chain dynamic. How do you achieve these kinds of dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
Almost 5 years since 9/11, ABC News marks the anniversary of the terror attacks with a series remembering 9/11. ABC's Jim Hickey looks back.
United 93.
Air traffic controllers and airline pilots on 9/11 5 years ago felt something was wrong, but didn't know what.
Screaming. Yes, I did. 787, and we couldn't tell what it was either.
It was screaming. They heard from United 93, hijacked, and one of the terrorists took over, saying there was a bomb aboard. We now know the story of 93 and its heroic passengers. Operator Lisa Jefferson had spoken to one of them, Scott Beamer.
He just said he's going to have to do what he has to do.
What they did was give their lives to prevent a fourth terrorist attack. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Turn off the TV, do a crossword puzzle, eat more fish. An Australian survey finds that could be the key to a better memory. People who read fiction also seem to have better recall. And heavy drinkers, no surprise here, don't. Liz White, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
This update of WGNU News is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. I'm Peyton Colston.
In the news this morning, a team of local medical personnel is preparing for a possible hurricane relief effort. 41 members of the Missouri One Disaster Medical Assistance Team left Lambert yesterday to go to the Atlanta area. The team will stand by to respond to Tropical Storm Ernesto, which is projected to strike Florida this week. Ernesto strengthened to a hurricane yesterday, but fell back to tropical storm strength as it moved over Haiti. A hurricane watch remains in effect for the Florida Keys. In other news this morning, St. Louis University will break ground on its new arena at noon today. The arena, near Compton and Highway 40, will seat more than 10,000 people and will serve as the home court for SLU basketball. The $80 million project also includes athletic practice space and athletic department offices. The arena is set to open in March of 2008. Downtown, a blood drive at the Westin St. Louis this afternoon will honor the wife of the hotel's general manager. Randy Kaplan, the wife of Westin St. Louis GM Dan Kaplan, is battling leukemia. Several local hotel general managers are encouraging their employees to donate today. The blood drive runs from 1 till 5 this afternoon at the Westin downtown. And finally, at this hour, voting ends today for the name of the St. Louis Zoo's new baby elephant. The female calf made her public debut Friday. The choices for her name are Sundari, Sashi, Malia, Jaya, and Nisha. People can vote at the St. Louis Zoo's website until noon today. The baby's name will be announced tomorrow. And that's an update of WGNU News brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. Play pick three from the Illinois Lottery. Watch for green ball, double draw. One green ball, two chances to win. Illinois Lottery, have a ball. Play responsibly. I'm Peyton Colston reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Centrum Vitamins. Westbound 70 at Shreveport, an accident has been cleared. Northbound 141 at 40, look for an accident. Right lane is blocked. Northbound 270 at Teston Ferry and Gravoy, that accident's been cleared. Eastbound 44 at Mraz Overpass and the Merrimack River Bridge looks good. In both directions, 40 at 270, no problems to report there. Northbound 67 at 367, road construction has some closures going on there, and all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are a bit delayed this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Centrum. When it comes to multivitamins, it's not just the number of ingredients, but how they interact that counts. Centrum balances combinations of nutrients to bring out their full potential. Centrum is balanced and complete. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Showers and thunderstorms likely today. High around 80 this evening, mostly cloudy. Chance of showers low in the mid-60s. Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the morning. Partly sunny by the afternoon, high around 80. And Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 80s. Currently, we have 75 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 75 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. What's up next? We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. To you, you were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me,
truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. I want to give you a heads up. I really want to give you a heads up because on Saturday, this coming Saturday, the Urban Institute, Irene J. Smith, and myself, we will be showing the movie, because it is the anniversary of the year anniversary of what happened in New Orleans with Katrina. Spike Lee put together a movie called When the Levees Broke. We will be showing that movie on Saturday at the Urban Institute, where the address is 1020 North Taylor. That's 1020 North Taylor. The movie is 4 hours long. We will start the movie at 7 a.m., and we will be playing it until 11 a.m. on Saturday morning. So you don't want to miss this. That's this coming Saturday, the Urban Institute. We provide the opportunity to make political changes, to inspire our community, to engage in the hard work of creating a political organization. And we also provide the opportunity to collect together and address our issues. So this Saturday at 7 a.m. at the Urban Institute, the address is 1020 North Taylor. Come on down to see Spike Lee's movie, When the Levees Broke. When the Levees Broke. You don't want to miss this. It's a powerful, powerful four-hour piece. And it's fitting on the year anniversary of what happened as a result of Katrina. A reminder, if you will, for this upcoming election that we have going on here in the state of Missouri with this contest between Claire McCaskill and Jim Talent. Come on out to this event. Many folks will be there, and it's a wonderful time to have this discussion about where we are as a community. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me because we have much, much, much business to attend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, Ms. Brown, I wonder if you could tell me the cross street for this 1020 North Taylor.
It's off of Delmar. Delmar and Taylor, right there.
Okay.
Right there.
I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Okay, yeah. All right. You're going to be there?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. 7
Thank
o'clock
you very
in the morning.
Much.
All right. See you.
Have
then.
A good day.
You too. 1-877-920-WGNU. I encourage everybody to come out this Saturday. It's going to be quite an event, quite a showing, quite an event. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me, because there is much business for us to tend to. One of the things that I talked briefly about with my last guest, and it's something that I think that you all need to be aware of, is, I think this is a discussion of fearlessness. I really think it's a discussion of fearlessness. Okay? Fearlessness. We have people talking about Joe Lieberman. Okay? Joe Lieberman is the worst example, the best example of the worst type of party member. The best example of the worst type of party member. And there are lessons to be made and stories to be told about what Joe Lieberman is doing. There needs to be a I resent the idea that limitations are being placed upon the Democratic Party, that everybody is welcome. No, they're not.
This is Monday.
No, they're not. Everyone is not welcome. Everyone is not welcome. Nor should they be. What? Klan's people are welcome? Timothy McVeigh terrorists are welcome? Of course they're not. Everybody is not welcome. And if you are a Democrat, you'll call yourself a Democrat, but you believe in everything that 90% of the things that the Republicans believe in, then you're not a Democrat. The tent is not open to you. Say it. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me. Is hospice care. You see, families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their own home. Through pain management, emotional counseling support, and compassionate health care, the Point of Change Hospice treats the patient as a whole person facing end-of-life issues. Founded in 2001, the Point of Change Hospice provides physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of terminal illnesses. Point of Change provides skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, occupational therapy, physical therapy, chaplain and counseling services, bereavement follow-up, physician-ordered services, medical equipment, medical supplies. Point of Change Hospice accepts Medicare, Medicaid, private health insurance. It costs you nothing. Please give us a call. One of our counselors is waiting to hold your hand through this difficult process. 535-4500. That's 535-4500. The Point of Change Hospice. Caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920, WGNU.
My tooth fell out.
The coach says I can play shortstop.
I got to be a deciduous tree.
You live for the first in your child's life. But how do you cope with the first that come after your child is diagnosed with cancer? CureSearch.org connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Everything's coming up, Roseanne. Hey, everybody. I'm Scott Cooper. I want to invite you to tune in to my show, Floral Design Inside and Out, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. right here on WGNU. Join me as I take you on a journey inside the incredible world of flowers. I'll entice you with ideas from weddings to home entertaining and so very much more. I'm all about flowers and a whole lot of fun. Please join me Tuesdays at 10 a.m. as we stop and smell the flowers right here on AM 920 WGNU.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I've got a hard road to travel and a rough, rough way to go. Said it's a hard road to travel and a rough, rough way to go. But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. I'll never stop. And my faith will see me through. Let me tell you.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Liz?
Yes.
This is Earlene. I want to thank you, thank you, thank you for turning me on to that movie, Loose Change.
You like that, huh?
It was so profound, Liz. I mean, there were things, and I thought I had kind of kept up with some things that I was not even aware of until I saw that movie.
And the way they put everything together.
Particularly the beginning about that plan that the Joint Chief of Staff had written back in 1962. It was a blueprint.
That's
it was
right.
A blueprint for 9/11. Everything that the man wrote in 62, which was rejected by McNamara and Kennedy, was a blueprint for 9/11. I had no idea that some of the so-called hijackers were alive and well and living in other countries. And then you look at the media, the guy that was on the day talking about the media. I grew up in the 60s when the media was on top of things, on top of civil rights, Watergate. This so-called mainstream media is a mockery. How in the heck can they not continuously raise the issues raised in 9/11? Even this plane crash this weekend should bring up the fact that in 9/11, the plane that supposedly crashed in Philadelphia, there were no bodies.
That's right.
There was no wreckage. How could that never? This is a small plane that went down, and as typical, wreckage is strewn for miles. Bodies are strewn for miles. To read that coroner's report that there was not one drop of blood found in that field in Philadelphia, and yet you got a media who's more worried about what people wore to the Emmys,
mm-hmm.
To a man whose relatives and in-laws who have no love lost for this man are saying, this guy couldn't have been with John Bonet. He was at our house sitting under our Christmas tree, but yet there's this fascination, this fixation, this quest for ratings that they will continue to report what is in essence a non-story when you have the things that went on with the mockery, with the lies and the duplicity of 9/11 staring us right in the face. And then, of course, the anniversary of Katrina, they want to talk about, well, why isn't New Orleans fixed after a year? My in-laws live in Miami. You can go to Miami 4 or 5 years after a hurricane and still find trees and debris down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, Megan puts his foot in his mouth a lot of times. You know, he's sometimes his own worst enemy, but you know, the only story that's going to be out of Katrina is, well, it should be back where it is at the year, and that's impossible.
And you have to add the other piece of it is that not only should it be back to where it was a year before Katrina, but also it's Ray Nagin's fault that it isn't.
Right, exactly. And then Jeb Bush's state gets hit by, as I say, Jeb Bush's state gets hit by hurricanes, and 4 or 5 years after, there are people still living. I would bet there are people who haven't recovered from Andrew, and that happened in 92, 14 years ago.
Where are we 5 years after 9/11? Where are we? Where is New York? And they were not impacted a tenth of what New Orleans and the Gulf Coast was in terms of the actual devastation. And they weren't.
It was in a block. I went to Ground Zero with some friends. I didn't want to go, but one of the friends that I went to New York with this summer just had to go to 9-0. So while she went through the fence, my friend and I sort of just stood back with our arms folded. I mean, it's basically a hole in the ground. It looks like they're trying to construct something. What? I don't know. But you're talking about basically what it was, maybe a major city block in New York.
And it's still there 5 years from now.
It's a hole in the ground.
There you go.
5 years later.
And it is.
But thank you so much for that movie. I will try to get it copied and give it to as many people. Right now, I'm just telling people verbally about it, but I will try to distribute it to as many people.
And what people need to know is that Irene and I will be handing out more copies of that, of Loose Change, at the Urban Institute on Saturday when the levees broke. So people will be able to get a copy of it on Saturday.
In fact, what I also think I'm going to do, I sometimes have children appear in my court who get in trouble to write a book report. I'm going to actually write a written report on that to kind of even analyze it. Liz, I set up till 4 or 5 o'clock, starting and stopping, just so I could read the things on pause. It wasn't enough for me just to hear the overvoice. I wanted to read and really get into it, starting and stopping, looking at things in great detail. It is fascinating, and I encourage people, get it and make copies, because that's what I plan to do to the best of my ability.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Arlene.
Thank you for that.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm Malik. Good morning.
Good. I just wanted to congratulate you. You know, being a pioneer and sitting back as you grow older, you look for the younger people to come up. And your job, if you didn't get out and pass a pamphlet or didn't do nothing, your job is right where you are, feeding information to the people. It's up to the people in the street to do after they hear you, not you, to push them. And you deliver information on an intelligent basis that I see it, what we fought for long ago, comes true in you. And I'd like to just congratulate you for that.
Well,
but
thank you.
Take that from a pioneer. You're doing an excellent job. If you was all... this community would go blank. Because if they don't follow what you're saying right now, they're going to go blank.
Thanks for your call.
Yeah, you have a good day. Yeah?
All right, take care.
Bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Much, much, much to tell. 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, we will be showing Irene J. Smith and myself this Saturday. The address is 1020 North Taylor. We're going to be showing the four-hour movie of Spike Lee's, and this is the anniversary of when Katrina hit. So this Saturday, the year anniversary, we're going to be showing the film When the Levees Broke as part of our Urban Institute meeting. This Saturday, we will also be giving away copies of Loose Change. So please come on out this Saturday. We're going to be starting at 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. We will be showing the movie we'll be showing the movie When the Levees Broke by Spike Lee, all about what happened in New Orleans. And it's such a provocative film, and provides for such wonderful opportunities for discussion. So please come on out. The Urban Institute is showing Spike Lee's movie When the Levees Broke on the anniversary of Katrina. Come on out on Saturday. My name is Liz Brown. We're going to take a break. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. I'll be back.
Get a free free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at letstalk17.com. New 2-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to letstalk17.com. That's letstalk17.com.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411. Every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Shall get them that's not, shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Lord, 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 what would happen if the Democrats take over the House? Let me just send some shivers down the spines and encouragement in the hearts of people out there that are wondering about whether or not they should participate in this upcoming election. Let me just try to break it down. If the Democrats take over control of the House, John Conyers would be the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. Oh, Lord! John Conyers, the man that has talked about the impeachment of George W. Bush. John Conyers, the conscience of the court. John Conyers, who has been fighting for reparations since day one in Congress. John Conyers would be the chairman of the Judiciary in the House. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Charlie Rangel, a harsh critic of the current tax policy. He would be the chairman of the Ways and Means. Do you know how many billions and billions and billions of dollars that would mean? Just think about it. If the Democrats take over the Congress, there would be 1, 2, 3, 4 men of African descent that would be chairman over some extraordinary committees. Alice Hastings, he would be the chairman over intelligence. Ooh. Who? John Conyers, Charles Rangel, and Benny G. Thompson. Huh. Those would be some of the new chairmen. And then we're talking about Barney Frank would be the chairman of financial services. Henry Waxman would be the chairman of the government reform. Ike Skelton from Missouri would be the chairman of armed services. This would be amazing. George Miller, we've had him on the show. We've had John Conyers on the show. We've had Alice Hastings on the show. We've had George Miller on the show. Truly, 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 I would define himself without hesitation, question, or pause as a liberal. George Miller would be the chairman of the Education and Workforce Committee. Just think about it. Appropriations, David Obey, a liberal, would define himself as a liberal, would be the head of appropriations. Whoo! James Oberstar. He's a determined supporter of money for home, state, and road and bridge projects. Considered a liberal, would be the chairman of the transportation and infrastructure. My goodness gracious! It would be an alternative. It would be an alternative place. It would be an alternative place. So when you think about whether or not you should participate in this election come this fall, whether it's important for you to go out and to vote in this election, I think that it is important. Not that this is the solution. There is still work to be done. 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. That would be the world. That would be the world if the Democrats took control. And here's the thing about it is that the Republicans are saying that it would be scary if the Democrat they raise the specter of the judiciary. They call it a specter of the Judiciary Committee headed by John Conyers, and the Banking Committee by Barney Frank. They call it a scare tactic, tired scare tactic with more than a whiff of bigotry. Lean into it. Because the fact of the matter is what a wonderful place America would be for us to have chairmen of committees in the United States of America, in the United States Congress, that look like more than white men. What a wonderful place that would be. Lean into it, Democrats. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Hey, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Razur this morning once again.
Yes, Razur.
Listen, in case you haven't already done it, please don't forget to do me a favor, will you? Tell the listeners about Mr. Jeff Smith's plans to join the Black Caucus.
Okay.
Okay, Liz.
All right.
You have a good day.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. get to me. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. When they do a poll on where Americans feel that they are, Americans feel shaky. It's interesting that Republicans are attempting to scare Americans with the specter of color, representing chairmanships on committees in the United States Congress. Most Americans are already scared already, and they're for real scared to their bones. I wonder if Americans, that there's a priority of fear in this country, and that the race fear is at the bottom of the normal fear. In good times, I think you could push people with race fear. But in bad times, I think people are more concerned about the fear of gas prices going up, the fear of not being able to pay for heat this winter, the fear of whether or not they're going to be able to keep their homes, or their mortgage is going to overwhelm them and they're going to lose their home. The fear of not being able to pay for their health care. The fear of please don't let me be sick because I can't afford to be sick. Those fears are prioritized now. I see gas prices trickling on down a little bit. You know why, don't you? We have an election coming up. And there's a fear and a clarity in the minds of most Americans out there. I know why gas prices are going down. Because in 2 months, we're going to have an election. And in 2 months, after the election, the gas prices are going to go right back up. I wouldn't be surprised to see gas prices at $4 a gallon after the election, win or lose. And I think most Americans feel that and understand that. There was a survey saying that most Americans don't believe that the nation is ready for another major disaster. How could that be? How could that be anything but an indictment on this administration that Americans feel 5 years after 9/11, trillions of dollars dumped into Homeland Security, that most Americans say that we're still not ready? That's an indictment on this administration and every decision that they have made. 57% of the poll said that they felt that strongly that the country was ill-prepared. That's up from 44%. Up from 44%. It's gotten higher in the aftermath of Katrina. Just 1 in 3 Americans believe that Bush did a good job with Katrina. Mm. Mm. 1 year after Katrina, large areas of New Orleans remain virtually uninhabitable. Only 117 million. Now, we had $25 billion in federal aid. Only $117 million has actually reached the city. The federal investigators determined that $2 billion was wasted in no-bid contracts. $2 billion. Do Americans get it? All the money that we spent in preparedness, in homeland security, and most Americans are saying they don't feel their homeland is secure at all. Whose fault is that? Who bears the responsibility of that? The person that created homeland security. The person that said it would make sense to put everything into one basket, we're going to be more secure. The person that did it is the person that is held responsible for it. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Eugene.
Yeah, Liz, on those contracts that are no bid,
mm-hmm.
on some federal jobs, if you had the contract last year, you automatically get it again the following year.
Mm.
And that may be the case with some of those. or bids you're talking about?
Well, no, a lot of them, Eugene, are these are the people that we had Halliburton, we had Brown and Root, a lot of the people that were doing work in Iraq, they got their contracts, the no bid contracts.
Yeah, well, you know, Financial Accounting and Standards Board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rules in that, along with the federal, in conjunction with the federal government. You know, if you did a job for the federal government the previous year, that gives you the inside track on the coming year.
If they choose to exercise that, correct?
Well, I think that's part of the law and the procedure.
Surely it cannot be because you had a job before you automatically get it. I would imagine it gives you a higher status, but I certainly don't believe that it says you are the only person that gets this job because you did it last year.
Check it out.
Okay. All right. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Diana Borsa, Interim Superintendent of the St. Louis Public Schools. We remain focused on one key component, academic achievement. We'll make sure that the doors of our schools will open on the first day of school, August 28th. Our teachers, staff, and administrators are working extremely hard to ensure a successful school year. I want to thank you for your continued support of the St. Louis Public Schools. And remember, together, we will make a difference.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Baghdad. Officials of both Iraq and Iran say they have made an agreement to swap crude oil for fuel. Iran will purchase 100,000 barrels of crude oil a day from Iraq and will in turn sell 2 million liters of refined oil products back to Iraq. Both countries have been struggling with fuel shortages and refinery operations, and Iraq in particular is currently hurting badly for refined fuel products, even though it has the third largest reserves of oil in the world. And Dateline Caracas. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez says the largest cardiology hospital for children in the world has now opened in the capital city. The government has invested close to $130 million to build the Dr. Gilberto Rodriguez Ochoa facility, which will be able to perform some 4,500 operations a year. 8 out of every 1,000 babies born in Venezuela have some type of heart problems, making it the second highest cause of infant mortality. The hospital will become part of a network of clinics and hospitals around the country where patients can be referred to for a diagnostic center and then determining the best course of treatment. In addition, hundreds of medical students will also be trained at the new hospital each year. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson. Join me right after the 10 o'clock news here on AM 920, WGNU.
What is hospice care? Families turn to hospice care when facing the terminal illness of a loved one. The Point of Change Hospice provides an environment in which families can cope with the transition of their loved one in the supportive, loving, and comfortable setting of their home. Through pain management, emotional counseling and support, and compassionate health care, the Point of Change Hospice treats patients as a whole person facing end-of-life issues. Founded in 2001, the Point of Change Hospice provides physical, emotional, practical, and spiritual care for adults and children in the last phases of a terminal illness. Skilled hospice nursing, medical social services, occupational therapy, physical therapy, bereavement follow-up, physician-ordered services. Please give them a call, One of their counselors is waiting to hold your hand. 535-4500. Point of Change Hospice. 535-4500. Caring for families, caring for our community, and caring for you.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. The government fulfills very few of the Katrina promises. We're a year out of Katrina. When half of New Orleans was still underwater, George W. Bush, Boy George, stood in Jackson Square and swore he would do what it takes to rebuild the community and lives that had been laid to waste 2 weeks before by Hurricane Katrina. He finally got off of vacation while Dick Cheney was snuggled in his bunker, dreaming of the time that he would shoot his friend in the face and the heart. Condoleezza Rice was out shoe shopping, $1,000 shoe shopping, and watching plays on Broadway. A year after the storm, how we doing? Dick Cheney has successfully shot his friend in the face and the heart. Condoleezza Rice got new shoes. Baby got new shoes. Boy George doesn't have as much vacation time as he did before. How we doing? Well, we're being told that this is something that is not going to be able to be accomplished in 365 days. I guess so. How hard was it for you to get $1 billion to Halliburton after the start of the war? I'm just asking. How soon were you able to cut those checks? I'm just asking. A year after the Iraq war, how long did Halliburton have to wait for their checks? I'm just asking, y'all. Let's talk about cleanup. More than 100 million cubic yards of debris have yet to be cleared away from the region. So far, the government has spent $3.6 billion, but that amount would have been smaller if the government had not given away the contracts without competitive bidding. Working through the Army Corps of Engineers, FEMA gave four companies contracts worth up to $500 million to clear hurricane debris. Ash Britt of Pomona Beach, Florida. Check that contract. Check that connection with Jeb Bush. Phillips and Jordan, Inc. of Knoxville, Tennessee. Sears Environmental Services at CERES of Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, and ECC Operating Services of California. They charged the government as much as 4 to 6 times what they paid their subcontractors who actually did the work. Boy George said, and as electricity was shining in only one place in New Orleans that day, and only for a few minutes in Jackson Square. Boy George said his goal was to get people out of shelters by the middle of October. Okay. You got them out of shelters, but what about the housing problem created by Katrina? Most of the people who have been in shelters were moved to hotel rooms, with FEMA picking up the bill. 50,000 families who had evacuated to other cities were promised a year of rent assistance through April. FEMA began cutting people off that the agency said did not qualify. More than 100,000 families moved into trailers or mobile homes. Meanwhile, FEMA flailed and flip-flopped on its contracting policies for the trailers, mobile homes, and other temporary shelters. The first big contracts were handed out non-competitively to four well-connected companies, Shaw Group, Bechtel, Fluor Group. Then in October, FEMA director promised to rebid the contracts after Congress complained that the smaller companies, especially the local and minority-owned firms, should have a chance to compete for the work. A month after that, FEMA said the new contracts would not be awarded until February. That deadline came and went. Then in March, FEMA announced that the contracts weren't going to be rebidded at all. Then a week later, FEMA said, oh, yeah, we are going to rebid them. We're going to give up to $3.6 billion to businesses and small and minority-owned firms. I promised Congress I was going to bid them out, and that's what I'm doing. It hasn't happened yet. Boy George also promised that they would undertake a close partnership with the states of Louisiana and Mississippi, the city of New Orleans, and other Gulf Coast cities. Well, I guess it depends on how you define partnership. And how you define dysfunctional partnership. After saying that he would have a close partnership with Louisiana, his administration rejected a $30 billion plan as too expensive. The White House, after saying I'm going to have a partnership with you, balked at the subsidizing the reconstruction of homes in floodplains. They finally got a little $9 billion road program that pays homeowners up to $150,000 to either repair their damaged property or rebuild elsewhere in the state. People who leave the state are being eligible for a 60% buyout. The money, which is being distributed through a few escrow accounts to prevent fraud, is just becoming available 1 year after the hurricane. What do these people do between now and then? And in all fairness to this administration, they haven't broken any promises with regard to flood protection. And I got to give Boy George his credit for that. He hasn't broken any promises with regard to flood protection because he never made any promises. He never made any. Oh, yeah. Boy George mentioned in his well-lit speech from Jackson Square in Louisiana, in New Orleans. He said, we were going to deal with poverty. We finally have pulled the cover off of poverty. Let's deal with it. One of them, he said, we're going to have worker recovery accounts that would help evacuees find work by paying for school, job training, or health care while they look for home for employment. It never happened. Boy George also said we would have an urban homesteading act that would give poor people building sites for new homes that they would either finance themselves or obtain through programs such as Habitat for Humanity. It never happened. But he did help those that have already. George helps those that have already helped themselves. One proposal that helped, the poverty proposal that Boy George came up with, tax cuts to developers. Now that one went through. $8.7 billion in tax breaks to developers. And that law also provides a debt restructuring for financially troubled local governments in the area. So he's the little guy, the real persons, the people that need the help. The most worker recovery accounts, nada. Job training, nada. Don't miss it, folks. If you really want to see what's happened as a result of Katrina, please join us at Irene J. Smith and myself. The Urban Institute will be showing Spike Lee's movie, When the Levees Broke, in the year anniversary of Katrina at 1020 North Taylor. 1020 North Taylor. That's this Saturday from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Join us. You really want to know what happened? You really want to feel what happened? It's going to be hard. It's hard. It's hard to watch this movie. It's hard to watch this movie. But it's something I think that we need to see all together. That's this Saturday. The address, 1020 North Taylor. The time, 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Please join us as the Urban Institute brings you this. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. Stay with me. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress.